So this is the third day in the afternoon. Hare Bol.
Hare Krishna, welcome back to the afternoon session. This morning we heard about external and internal challenges. This afternoon we're going to deal with objections, excuses, and further challenges, and also about how to distribute Prabhupada's books on their own merit. And then after that, the second part will be sources of inner strength and inspiration. You all had a good rest?
Yeah.
Yeah? Pasta was okay?
Good.
All right. So, we have quite a few topics which we did not cover this morning. And since we spoke about trust, trustworthiness and keeping one's commitments, I told you we're going to cover them. So maybe somebody can take a pen and cross off what we already dealt with. Okay. Yeah. So could you cross out? We dealt with police, we dealt with clothing. Close, just one time through, minimum. Unfavorable weather. Did you deal with the incompetent distributors? No?
No.
Okay, so, who are you talking about? You know in every place.
That's me.
There's a difference between a person who is starting out fresh and is incompetent just because of lack of training, lack of experience, or because that person really just doesn't learn what's how it's working out. So, incompetent distributors. What was the context you gave that point?
I think that was Maharveshwar Prabhu. I made this objection yesterday about someone who distributed. You know, this is a gift, this is for you, and then Toast scenario.
Toast factor.
I think that should be addressed as well, but that was from my point. And I mean, this one has a bad name for different things.
Yeah.
Yeah, so people, as like I demonstrated in the angry man, you know, assault child, you know, connection for the wrong reason and stuff like that.
So what's your suggestion how we should deal with this? Any suggestions? How should we deal with incompetent distributors? Should we tie them to a tree in handcuffs? Throw tomatoes at them? They have to do the course, okay? What else?
Also restrictions.
Restrictions?
From the temple.
Don't come closer than 5 mile radius to a temple. Stay in no man's land.
Temple authorities giving books to book distributors.
Okay, it can be restrictions. If somebody is really not behaving properly, we just shouldn't give them books.
Monitoring system in place.
Monitoring system.
You can see the book, the distributors, how they distribute, what they're doing right, what they're doing wrong. Maybe this video system, you can show them. Well, this is what you're doing wrong.
Maybe we could have chicken plants, you know? So, no, I'm all in favor that we should have a monitoring system where people are assessed on a regular basis. If you work in any kind of company, up to the CEO, up to the top level guy, there is assessment. Whether you're the gardener, whether you're cleaning the trash cans, whether you're cleaning the toilets, up to the top level guy, there is a system of assessment. You know what assessment means? That they're checking on you. And there is people checking on the checkers. They're called auditors, and then they call controllers, and sometimes they have to hire independent outside company to do audits and to do assessment on the assessment branch of the company, because if things get big, they get out of control. So it's a must. It's a regular ongoing thing. Now, who are those people who are going to do the assessment? We can't hire, you know, like what do you call them? Ernest and Young or PricewaterhouseCoopers. These are usually guys who go into companies and they assess them and they tell them, look, here's the problems and here's the way you can solve those problems. Now we do not have the money, we do not have the corporate structure in order to do that. So who will do the assessment? Any suggestions? You're going to do it. You volunteering.
Senior devotees.
Senior. Who are the senior devotees? That's you. That's you. That's everybody else. If you have somebody who's been out distributing books for a few months, it's the one who's been out a few weeks longer. So whoever is senior, but not only senior by age or by years on the street, but maybe senior by knowledge. You may have somebody who distributes books for 2 months, but they're already more expert, more skillful than somebody who's doing it for 5 years. It's possible. It happens. So basically speaking, all of you have to do the assessment. So there is assessment by peers, there is assessment also by superiors, and there is also assessment and feedback by juniors. And we shouldn't be scared. We shouldn't say, no, 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 you can't tell me, you know. You joined 3 days after I joined. So therefore, I'm not accepting any of this. You know, you just shut up because it's all offensive. No. We are getting assessed by the people on the street on a daily basis. So why wouldn't we want to have devotees who tell us? Okay.
What do you do in the case where you said yesterday, not some elderly devotees who are not and something, and they are obviously but they may not take shower.
Yeah, they're not representable. Then either somebody can tell them and deal with them, or like in a situation, you try to sell somebody books, there comes somebody who's envious or a demon. You can try to preach to them, you can try to convince them, sometimes you just have to block them out. Sometimes you just have to go somewhere else and leave them alone. Some people just don't change. So you just have to minimize the damage. But you could also just not give them books. Yeah. Then what to do? Hare Krishna. Other points to incompetent distributors? Alright, we'll move on. You can cross it off. How to deal with nasty guys, mudas, aggressors. We dealt with that, no?
Yeah.
You avoid them? Yes. Okay. Pretty girls, pretty boys, did you deal with that? Vasudev is not here, we should wave it down. It's his topic. Misconceptions. Who brought up misconceptions? No one? Okay, we'll wait till misconception comes up. Restrictions. This is the material world, there's always going to be restrictions. Some places are illegal, some places are very dangerous, some places are sometimes good, the next day they're bad. There's only one thing for certain, that nothing is for certain in the material world. That there is a constant change. Everything is in constant motion. You may go to a town, it's super sweet, you go there next week, it's completely demoniac. It's always changing. So don't set yourself on that something is going to be always the same. It's always changing. So these restrictions, work with them, work around them, tolerate them, use your intelligence, your ingenuity, and sometimes you just have to bite your teeth, bear with it, and do the best you can. And Krishna will be happy, Krishna will be kind, and He will bless you. It has happened time and time again. That was restrictions. Lack of temple support, I think we had a drama about that, and we talked about that. Having meetings, structuring things, planning ahead, understanding the other devotees' needs and their challenges in terms of manpower, in terms of time, in terms of finances, and supporting them. Sankirtan devotees are the Brahmins in society. That means we should be understanding, we should be tolerant, we should be the servants, but we should also be a little bit selfish, that we know this is our service, this is our right, we have to do this. So work in intelligent ways. And ultimately, if in a place you can't distribute books because the temple will not give you the support, it's a whole wild world out there. Then you just go to a place where you have a considerate temple president and a considerate temple commander, and where you can actually do something and make a difference. That's what's happening. So So if your place is not favorable towards book distribution and you want to be a book distributor, it's not a problem if you bring it up to your spiritual master, to your GBC, and you tell him, look, Prabhupada says, distribute my books. And here in this place, it's just not possible. So please advise me, where can I go? Either you make it possible, or I've got to go somewhere else, because I have to do this. And they will facilitate you, I'm convinced. Or they may also tell you, look, this is the financial situation of your temple. You have to do 2 months a year of prasad distribution or of festivals. And after that, you can go out and distribute for 8 or 10 months books. Is that a deal? Can you live with that? And then you have to bargain. And you say, okay, fine. But I want to do the marathon, and I want to go to Mayapur, and this and that. In this world, you don't get what you deserve. You get what you negotiate. Everything is negotiations. Okay? Not only the rickshaw guy and the course fees, and it's all about negotiations. So, but sometimes you will see that bargaining hard doesn't mean that you will always be the winner. Sometimes you have to give in and just accept things and try to do your best, and Krishna will be pleased. Okay, competition with other devotees. That can be a challenge sometimes. Not everybody can handle competition. Not everybody has the stomach for it. Some people thrive on it. They really get excited. Oh yeah, let's compete. Whereas others, they become discouraged. So always judge a thing by its result. If you become discouraged, then forget about competition. Just do it for the sake of doing it. Just do it to please Guru and Krishna. We can always compete with our own selves. We can always try to do better than the previous day. But if you're the competitive type, you've been into sports, you've been into business, you like to have a bit of an edge, and you have that rasa, then you can do that. There's nothing wrong with it. But the competition in the spiritual world is the gopis, they all want to serve Krishna better. And they all encourage the others to serve Krishna better. So it's not, I am great, you're so lowly, but let me serve you so you can serve Krishna better. And that is what's pleasing Krishna. Any points?
I think also that point was in relation to the shop somewhere, for example.
With what?
I might be more accompanying the zone, but I thought that would work with that time. Having two groups at the same time, yeah. Or two Christian groups.
Now we'll deal with that, we'll come to that in the zone. Any other points on competition? So don't get all worked up about competing with others if you don't have the stomach for it. For some people it's great, for some people it's exactly the opposite. Whatever works, whatever gets you going. Some people just have to do what they can do and be happy with that. And others, you can tell them, you should do 100 books. And they'll go out and they'll make it happen. So see what works. Everybody's an individual. Every person has a different psychological, mental, emotional makeup. And we cannot change that. You can't say, oh, you got to be like this. Stereotype. Confirmed. Pain. What's pain all about? You have to help me out here because...
pain basically comes out because there is a need for growth.
Yes.
So that growth also makes you pain painful because you are growing, and as you can, little kids are growing up also, sometimes their body hurts because they are transforming. So it's painful in a way, but
sure.
It's necessary.
So how do you deal with pain?
How do you deal with it? You accept it and then forget it.
Forget it.
You accept it, and once you accept it as a learn, as a lesson, then you just move on.
Okay, other suggestions how to deal with pain?
You can add yoga to your program.
You can do yoga. Yoga is good, not only for the body, also for the mind, also for the emotions. It balances you out. I would also say you add spiritual knowledge. You read up on certain topics in the Shastra, which make you understand better the nature of the material energy and how the material energy works, and you become less stressed out. But a lot of times we're our own worst enemies.
We cause ourselves the most pain because of our own expectations, because of our own shortcomings. Other topics you like to discuss about pain?
So when I remember distributing in London for 3 days and being rejected so many times,
how did I make it feel?
I got stomach problems. I was in like physical agony.
Yeah.
I was like, forget it, I can't do this. So
what was the solution?
I stopped eating.
You just had to take a break. Sometimes you just have to take a break.
I took a 15-year break.
That's a long 15 years brain.
I don't want to know who trained you and who monitored you, who assessed you.
But another 15 years is hopefully coming to an end.
Okay. So you have been in the forest, but now you know your exile is over. You've been banished, but you're back on the battlefield.
I'm afraid. What if this pain takes a
But what was the reason? You were not trained properly, or you have wrong expectations?
Maybe a combination of both of these things. Definitely I wasn't trained properly. I was doing like charity lines and things like that. So speaking on my mind to the people, when guys chasing me around, why are you lying to everyone?
That's normal. I can feel it.
Traumatized.
Yeah, traumatized. I started doing Book to Sikh when I was 15 years old. I didn't know how to talk to people. I didn't know which towns we went to. I didn't know what was going on. I just knew I want to give these books to people. But I made a lot of mistakes, and it was painful because, you know, if you know that what you're doing and what you're saying is the right thing, but you're not good at it, it's painful. And as you said, it's part of growing up. It's making those mistakes. And the growth, you know, it's like it hurts you in more than one place. And sometimes you get physically sick, sometimes you just get mentally, emotionally, psychologically unstable. I just resorted to taking shelter of the devotees. Just always being very open, very honest, very frank about my own problems, my own situation. And there's always devotees who extended themselves and helped me out. You have a point?
Yeah, I just wanted to say that there is no gain without pain.
No gain
without pain.
Without pain.
Yeah. No pain, no gain.
No pain, no gain.
Yeah, you got a back that's not doing so good. Many devotees say they can't do book distribution because their back's so bad. I don't know if I buy into that. But I mean, the point is that many people permanently ruin their backs.
Yes.
Is it appropriate time for you to say anything?
Back.
By just how to carry books.
Yeah, we can talk about that. Did you mean physically or more mentally and psychologically?
Of course, both ways.
Both ways.
It's both interconnected.
Interconnected.
You cannot say
yes.
This is one thing and then
sure.
It's all interconnected. Emotions are connected intrinsically to our bodies and
sure.
Both ways. It works both ways. So pain is there to tell you if there's something that you need to put attention into. It's telling you like my stomach is hurting. Why? Certainly because something's going on that you have to listen and you have to stop. This is what pain is telling you. You have to stop and listen and watch. One thing is pain and another very different thing is suffering. This is attachment to suffering. It's a different thing. A painful pain situation, it's an opportunity for growth.
Thank you.
Sometimes you have to look for a doctor.
Yes. If you're sick, sometimes you have to look for a doctor.
So some people miss that because I'm going inside that I have a pen, but maybe if it comes to a doctor, then...
Sure. Sometimes you need to go and see a doctor. If you're not well, you need to go and see a doctor and get medical attention. Now, in terms of back problems, it seems to be a regular concern for all the book distributors because you're carrying books, and books are heavy. They're made from paper, which is basically wood, you know? So you're carrying trees around, transcendental trees. So that's heavy. That's real heavy work. There is a few things which you can do. Number one, you just gotta work smart, which means we used to carry stacks of books, I don't know whether you've seen, from our knees to our noses, like 22, 25 maha big books.
like this, just straight up. And you walk around with them and you take three or five, or you go up to the people and say, hey, can you take those top three books? Can you take them off? And you put the money here. And then somebody comes and returns your books, you know? Then you got books up this high and you got to put books down. So be sensitive. If you're doing 20 books a day, don't carry 15 books around all day. You can carry two or three books. You can carry five books. You don't need to have huge stacks. Have a cart, have a trolley, you know, like those carry-on trolleys which you can take into the airplane, or the carts where you can put those boxes on. Work smart, work from a book table. Sit down. If you work in one spot, get a chair and a table, sit down. You'll see people will come to you. And if you're moving around on the streets, carry the books the right way. Don't put them on a side like this, or carry book bags. Have you seen Jamastami Prabhu walk? You know, he walks like this, like John Wayne, you know? He's ready to shoot from the hip. It's because of the book bag, you know? Because if you carry for 20 years a book bag, heavy book bag, it's really bad. If you must carry, carry backpacks. You have straps on both sides, you walk straight, you put them in the backpack.
And practice asanas. Do some stretches also for your back.
Asanas, yoga. Every morning I get up, I take my shower, I put my mat out, I do 20 minutes of yoga. Sometimes it's 15 and a half, sometimes it's 22 and a half. But I know, I don't do my yoga for 2 weeks, I die. My system shuts down and says, bye-bye, you're a jerk, I'm not going to work with you. And it just stops working. Because I had back pain about from 20, started when I was 15, distributing from about 22 to 30. I had back pain, severe back pain for 7 or 8 years. I went for massages, I went for chiropractic, I tried to do different exercises, but it was very intense because it was hard work. We're doing an average of about 1,000 maha books a week. It's about 150 to 180 maha books a day. 8 hours, props. So, if you're working hard, then you must build up your muscles in your lower back. You must maybe even do more than just yoga asanas and stretches. But maybe you might do some other exercises, specialized exercises, to build up your back muscles. It's not very difficult, it's not very complicated. There's a lot of people who can show you these exercises. You just do them, you build up your strength, and you'll be well. You don't do them, and you try to do the job, your body disintegrates. This morning, one devotee talked to me, he's about 32. He looks very good, very healthy. He just says, I have so much back pain, I gotta go to South India, this and that, and the other thing. And I just looked at him and said, you know what? You need to lose 10 kilos, you need to drink more water, eat less food, and you need to do regular exercise every day. And you'll be fine in a couple of weeks. But if you don't want to do that, you know, then just drink no water, eat a lot of food, work very hard, and you maybe go back to Krishna very fast. So, it's kind of common sense, but there's nothing as uncommon as common sense nowadays. Just like diet and other health habits. So we just have to see what works for your body and do that. And then pain, the other type of pain, we just have to get ourselves absorbed in spiritual sound vibration and in good association. That we have this mentoring, this monitoring, and this sharing and caring program, that we feel well. That you don't go to rest with a sad or a broken heart, but that you have somebody you can talk to, you can express your fears, your feelings, your emotions, and you can have this sharing and caring session. And that's not just for the girls, that's for the guys also. And then you can be a functional person. You can actually go on doing sankirtan for a long period of time. You believe it, or you think this is weird? Huh?
Guys especially need to let out their emotions out. Girls usually are more open for that.
Yeah. Different nature. You're talking more amongst yourself, and it's more natural to express yourself, but a lot of times men are more introverted, they just keep everything to themselves. But if you're in a team, you need to have a team spirit. Like when Krishna met the Prachetas, he was telling them, I'm very pleased, not just by your austerities, but by your teamwork, by your cooperation, by working together in a congenial way. And that's why I'm giving you my mercy. That's what Krishna told the Prachetas. So if we work together nicely as a team, Krishna will be pleased, and he will give us his mercy. And if you got Krishna's mercy, I think pain is the least thing in your mind. But if you're on the bodily concept, then you just try to, you know, push round things into square, you know, round pegs into square holes, then something gets cut up, you know, and it doesn't feel good. Then of course comes the other strategy. You think you're a warrior, you can deal with pain, you just put it away, you hide it someplace, and you don't have to deal with it. But one day, pain will come back big time, and will just knock you out, will just wipe you out. And then you got no resort, you got no way how to deal with that pain. So you have to deal with it. You can't just neglect it. You have to address it. Next point. Logistics. Okay, logistics. Okay. Yeah, sickness. No, sickness, I want to say something to sickness. Sometimes devotees think, oh, I'm very austere, I'm very renounced, I'm, although I got, you know, tuberculosis and malaria and Hep 3 and God knows what I've seen, I'm still going to go out and distribute books. And within a short time, their body is completely destroyed. No, when you're sick, as Prabhupada said, hope this letter meets you in good health. First, you take care of your health. First comes health. Then comes chanting, practicing your sadhana. Then comes preaching. If you're not healthy, you can't practice your sadhana, forget about preaching. Because people take one look at you, and they're like, you know, this guy's in pain. This is not very attractive. I remember one time I had two wisdom teeth, not pulled out, but operated out, you know, and stitched up. And it was very painful, it was swollen like anything, and I was working in underground parking, and every 20 meters, I would just go to the side because it was so painful, and I would just spit the blood on the floor and go on distributing. And I thought, you know, it's normal, it's just, you know, little thumb thing, right? But it's not good. When you're not well, you should not go out. But that doesn't mean that, oh, I think, today, no, I can't go to the sugar books today. You know, you should really, there should be a reason for it. You know when you're not well. Not just, oh, today, you know, you roll the window down and there is two drops of water, you know, and you're like, oh, I can feel there's some temperature in my body, you know. I cannot do sugar books today. Then rather just say, look guys, I'm not feeling like it. I'm not really 100%. Today is just going to be my reading day. I just take a day off. That's it. Be honest about it. Don't make a big thing. But if you're sick, stop distributing, get well, drink tea, stay back, and then go out again when you're well.
You mean herbal tea, right?
Yes. Of course. Okay, we're going to logistics. Logistics means cars which are not working, unsuitable facilities, etc., etc., etc. Well, you all know what you need to do your service properly. So, I'd like to ask you as a homework to make a list of all the items which you need in order to distribute books. You know, might be a van, might be a cart, might be a book table, a peaceful place to sleep, proper food, proper clothes, some shelter, somebody who cares for you. And then you make a checklist. And then you take those things off. And if they're not taken off, then you take care of it. And you sit down with your authority. And you say, look, we got a problem here. This is not working out. I'm not getting any food. This is a problem. Like the scenario I have there, you know? The army marches on his stomach. If you got no food, you're not going to get far. if you don't have any shelter, if you don't have anybody who cares for you, if your vehicles are breaking down all the time because nobody maintains them. Like Anant Kulunubi Prabhu, when he's in Italy, he's got the service of taking care of the devotees and taking care of the vehicles. That's his service. It is somebody's service to take care of those things. And if it's no one's service, then it doesn't get done. And then things become very difficult. But this is not like rocket science. This is not like building an atom bomb, you know? This is just 2 + 2 = 4. You make a checklist what you need, you make sure you got it, or you find some substitute, some situation, how to work around it, and you try to make this as good as possible. Any questions for logistics?
You need these lists after what?
After what? After you go out and distribute books?
Sí, pero imagine que you are in Spain, for example. You can make any list for the Spain.
You cannot expect other people to plug into your program. You have to establish your own program. But you're grown up, you're mature, you know how to take care of yourself, so you make your own arrangement. Works well. But if you're a dependent, if you're working out of a temple, you have certain rights and you have certain duties. And you have to know them. And you have to know how to get them. Okay, we're moving on. Time. What was the time factor? Who brought up time? Can you tell a little bit more? Because
For myself, the reason I brought up logistics and time, because in Uganda it was basically about an hour and a half or 2 hours of driving, and add that on to the morning program. And
any solution for this scenario? If you're on a farm and the nearest town is an hour and a half away, and if you want to do the morning program, then till you get out it's like 1 o'clock, and then by 4 you have to head back home. So what's the solution?
Traveling
Sankirtan Ki Jai. Hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back till the weekend. Just get moving. Sometimes our centers are just not strategic locations, and you just have to hit the road or work out in a downtown center, and you go on the weekends.
Maybe if you cannot go on traveling, at least you can go for 2 days, like one night.
If you can't go the whole week, at least go for 3-4 days in a stretch. That makes it worth it.
It happened to me a lot. You're serving unrelated Sankirtan leader. The Sankirtan leader is really not that much into it. So if you're going to leave at 5, you're going to be 2 hours late to the concert, and you have an hour of distribution, or something like that. You just cry. But what are you going to do? I mean, I end up leaving and I'll just say, later, do my own thing.
Yeah, that's how it works. If you find the people around you not cooperative, not sensible, not intelligent, then you just find yourself in another situation. That's the way how it works. And any temple deserves to be deserted. You can note that down in your little book. Any temple who is not facilitating, encouraging, and supporting preaching, book distribution, deserves to be deserted by the preachers and book distributors. That's the natural result. Because any person who will stay there will lose their enthusiasm, will lose their Sankirtan spirit, and will just become freaking depressed. And we don't want that. Because then you have to, again, bring them up from zero, until you again gain speed and momentum. It takes you some time to build up again.
One second lost, and then we'll walk back.
Pardon me?
1 minute, 1 second lost, and everything brought back to 40 minutes.
Yes. That's why we shouldn't waste any time. Members of other faiths, I think we dealt with them. No association. Same thing like association. What does it mean? Sometimes you may be the only Sankirtan devotee in a country. And you're like, okay, so what do I do? Go to another country, or but you just want to stay. So then, what does association mean? Association doesn't just mean that, hey, we're associating with each other here. We got a thing going on. No, associating. I'm associating with a lot of my friends over Skype, over the internet, writing letters. We meet a couple of times a year in different places. I'm listening classes and instructions from my mentors and guides and spiritual master. And I'm not physically present with them, but I'm associating with them. That's what it means, association. But then again, every now and then, you have to actually meet people and have a heart-to-heart exchange and exchange ideas. Yes?
If you are new Buddhist, my situation was I did one marathon with Mataji, they all left, and then I was alone on the street since then. So I don't know how to distribute books, and I have to be the whole day alone on the street, sleeping alone.
That's difficult.
And I have to associate with Paramis. When I was in London, I was having more associations with the street artists than with the devotees.
Yeah.
And I'm into that.
Yeah. Then you have to find yourself a situation where you got association. Nobody can last out there alone. Nobody. Not even the single Swami who has his book table program. You gotta have association. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastra Kari, Lava Mata Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoy. We all need the association of the Vaishnavas. The Vaishnavas are our solace. They are our refuge. They are our saviors.
Prabhupada said, spiritual life without the association of devotees is hallucination.
Yeah, hallucination. We just concoct. We just think something, but actually it's something else. So then you just got to go to a place where you have association. There are places.
Yeah, there are places that are not places.
And otherwise, you create that place. If that association is not present, or you don't like the association, you might be in a temple. There are devotees, but you don't like it. What's going on? You don't like the level of communication, you don't like the level of dealing. Then you create your own association. You get together with a few like-minded people and you say, look, you know, I got this plan. I want to do something different. I want to start the hearing and chanting. Let's chant the chapter Bhagavad Gita every day. You know, it's called the chapter Bhagavad Gita Club. And we want to go out and preach, we want to do Harinam. We want to do those things. So you find a few like-minded souls and you get your own association. You can create your own association. In the beginning it's harder when you're new. But as time goes by, you have to create your own association. You can't be always dependent on others. It's time to grow up. It's time to get real, to get serious about life. You are the future leaders of this movement. In 5 to 10 years, nobody who is sitting up there right now is going to sit up there. They're not. So then who will do the job? Are you going to do the job? Makes you think a little, doesn't it? So we have to become self-motivated. And we have to create that good association. Like Prabhu, he was in the temple, he was not supported, he went out, he got his van, he made his own program. Other devotees joined in, they said, hey, this is a good thing going, let me join here. All of a sudden, you got 5 vans, you got 20 people, you got something happening. In the same way, you're in Germany, there's so many devotees all over Germany who are feeling lonely, who feel like I'm neglected, nobody takes care of me. You say, hey, why don't you come here, let's do some sankirtan together. That's how it was. You knew in the old days, these are the centers, these are the towns, these are the places where you can get some good association and you can actually make something happen.
The situation has become even more difficult because of no manager to distribute the books actually. So she can get association only on the distributor's promise.
Well, it's also difficult because you see, ladies, most of the time you get married, then there's family, so there's, you know, the life expectancy of a book distributor. It's not that most of the book distributors stay on the street for 50 years, right? Like, you have a brahmachari, he joins, he goes through bhakti program, he does maybe 5 or 7, if he's lucky, 10 years. Nowadays, if he does 2 or 3 years, you're lucky. Huh? Same thing with the ladies. You know, you join, you become initiated, most of the time you get married, you want to settle down, you want to have a family. So, then, you got to learn how to be a Sankirtan devotee in your family environment. And you can still distribute books. And you can still do something. But it's not like when you're traveling second time. But while you're young and while you've got the energy and the facility to do so, take full advantage of it. Don't let anything stop you. There's enough devotees who want to go out and distribute books. You just have to find like-minded souls and you team up and you do something together. And if it's not possible and it's not happening, then you just got to go out yourself and you got to make it happen. And Krishna will be very pleased, your guru will be very pleased, and they will shower all the blessings upon you. But then you have to get back to the temple and get charged up. And then you go out again for a week or two, and then you come back like that. That can happen also. But not everybody is able to go out alone and sustain their own program. Any points? Rila, you want to see that? Okay, let's move on here. Damaged books, it's a problem. Devotees don't take care of books sometimes. I check the consciousness of the temple on two, there's a couple of indicators. Some might say, oh, you go to the temple and you look at the deities, and then you see whether the deity worship is nice, everything's nice. I tend to disagree, because usually that's the place where most of the attention is given. But you ask them, where is your book room? And if they say, book room, what's that? Then you know, you've got a problem. Or if they bring you to the basement, and there is, you know, like the room where they threw in all the stuff from last Ratha Yatra, and, you know, from the Harinam, and, you know, the old rotten vegetables from last Jamastami and everything, and a couple of books and like that, you know, you got yourself a problem. Because that's the consciousness of the temple. That is the consciousness, and that's the problem. Because the books are no different from Krishna. And if you treat the books like that, that means you're treating Krishna like that. And that's not okay. So if the books are damaged, what I suggest to you is you make arrangements that the books will not be disrespected and not be damaged in the future, that there's somebody responsible who takes care of the book room, and those books get cleaned up. You can take them out to a music festival and just hand them out for free to the, you know, hippies and young people like that. Or you can make a big sign, all books, $1, you know. Something like that. Just let them fly. But don't take them out on regular sankirtan and try to sell them as if they were original. But you know that they're actually damaged. That's cheating. That's not good. People will be disappointed. You know what happened to me? I was 15 years old. I was still going to school. I was working the neighborhood, distributing a weekly newspaper, paper boy, doing my route. I was putting all the money aside. I had about $550 saved up over 2 years. I was delivering newspapers and I was delivering flowers for a flower shop. So I went to the temple and I said, I want to have all these books. So then the devotees thought, well, you know, he's a young kid, he doesn't have any money. So they just took it. A full set of old books, you know, they just pieced it together. And they brought it to my home. And I gave him $500. And began, you know, I was really shocked that I gave him so much money. And I was really disappointed that I got used books. I felt really bad. Because I knew that I've given him like twice the amount, which was required, but I got used books. But, you know, you're a 15-year-old kid and you're coming new to the temple, you're in no position to argue, you know, with them. And this is not good, you know. So I just said, okay, thank you. And I put them on my altar and I had them there. But I felt really disappointed. So don't ask people to pay, you know, top dollar if the books are damaged or torn. No books. If you got no books, yes, that's a problem. I went to a lot of places. Even when I was invited, I asked them, okay, where's your book room? There's no books. I remember I was in Sao Paulo. And so I said, okay, guys, where's your library? So they said, what do you mean, where's your library? I said, yeah, where's all your books? You know, where you read and stuff. So I went to the library. I filled up my cart. I just took out all the books from the shelf. And I went out and I said, this is your punishment. I'm just selling all your library. And I sold all the books from the library. They were fried. Just because if you don't have any books, you deserve this punishment. Because the books are there, and you can't say there are no books. BBT is printing books. There is enough books for everybody, believe me. If not, just, you know, scream and yell. You will get your books. But you have to plan ahead. You can't just wake up one morning and say, hey, I'm in Greece, why don't I have 50,000 Bhagavad Gitas, you know? Or, hey, I'm in southern somewhere, you know? Down in, what's it called there? Southern Argentina? Fireland? Patagonia? You know, you have to be considerate. You have to plan things ahead. You have to put in an order. You have to ship things. Sometimes BBT has to print. And if you actually sit down with the BBT people and tell them, look, this is our program, this is what we need, they will try to fulfill your order. Even better, if you have cash in the hand, they will fulfill your order very fast. Believe me, I've seen it happen. As soon as you take cash out, things start to move really, really rapidly, you know? People start jumping all frisky. They're all over the place, right? I know it shouldn't be like that, but unfortunately we're in the mature world and it is like that sometimes. Yes?
Practical comment, like, I don't know, as a new Bhakta and Sankirtan leader, you place the book order, I can't do this. Sometimes DBT might, you know, okay, the Prabhupada set up the DBT, you know, just like you're saying, with certain personalities might not be able to work with too well. Like many times when I distribute Isha Upanishads, the pages, as I would read the book, the pages would fall out.
And you just have to make a complaint to the BBT. You save three or five of those worst examples, you put it together, you send them to your trustee, and you say, look, I can't deal with this. People are getting fried. So either you up the quality, or we'll just not distribute this one title. And they will get the message. You just stop ordering that title. They will get the message.
I must say that if they don't hear you the first time, keep hammering it and eventually they'll get it.
That's how it works.
It's because with the CD ROMs, sometimes they pop off the cover. They said, no, that doesn't happen.
It does.
Well, sorry, it happens. No, it doesn't, in the conversation. But if you keep it hammering it, they'll okay. And they'll be afraid of a strong response.
Yeah.
That's my recommendation. Yes. Because usually it's a new Bhakta, okay, yes, please. It doesn't happen. So I won't say it. Yes, please. So it's better to go through them.
Yeah, you have to understand, they're devotees, they're sitting in an office, they got a corporate office job, they don't see what is your reality out there on the street. For them, it's 9 to 5, punch in the orders, put the time, go home. For you, it's a different ballgame. You're there, you're walking out on a limb, you're developing trust, you try to do the sharing and caring thing, you put yourself on the line, and then, you know, you try to shoot, but there's no bullets there, you know? The whole thing just falls apart. Makes you feel bad, makes you feel stupid. So you don't want that. So then you just have to keep on bringing the points back. You have to educate your managers, you have to educate your temple presidents. Sometimes, unfortunately, you have to educate your GPC members. It's a fact. And you have to work on your BBT trustees. It's a fact. It's reality. It goes both ways, you know, sharing and caring. It's not that they're up there and you're down here and, you know, you're 5,000 miles away from each other and nobody knows each other's reality. No. It's teamwork. Teamwork means communication, cooperation, love and trust. Yes. How can you educate someone who's considered superior to you? Yes.
Sure.
That's reasonable. Well, then people are not going to do it. If somebody has a complaint about their BBT trustee, there is an international BBT board. You can send in a complaint to the board or to the secretary of the trustees and they will deal with it. Believe me, they do. They do. Don't be scared. Don't think, oh, I'm timid, I'm shy, I can't do this, I'm not empowered. Also, if a police person, like you heard that example about the police lady who gave them a hard time, you just ask them, my dear sir, what's your number? You know, what's your name and number? I'd like to find out whether, you know, this is appropriate, the way you're dealing with us. And all of a sudden, you get a completely different response. Oh no, I didn't mean it like that, you know, and it's all okay, it's all fine. If you know what you're doing, and you do it in a nice way, but to be so-called humble and get stepped upon, that's not real humility. And if you're not in the position to do it, then find somebody who is. There's so many other devotees, senior devotees. You may have to work through somebody. That's always possible. Okay, wrong spot. If you're in the wrong spot,
change.
Change. How do you know you're in the wrong spot? Sometimes no books go out, it gets tough. But then you persevere, you stick it out, and all of a sudden it starts happening again. I know some devotees, they always think they're in the wrong spot. So they keep on driving all day long, you know? They're just driving all day long, and then they go out for 10 minutes. Oh, you know, I don't like the energy here, you know? It's like, I don't feel the love, you know? Okay, let's move to the next place. And they just keep on moving all week long. And then they come home to the temple, and they just bring a whole bill of receipts, you know? And they say, you know, boom. It was just the wrong places, you know, we went to the wrong spots. But we had a really good time, you know. And by the way, we did some shopping, you know, to go to India. And, you know, here's the gas and Volga and the shopping receipts. And yeah, a few books are gone also. No, wrong spot a lot of times means wrong mentality. We are in our wrong spot here, in our own wrong mental frame. Very rarely you're actually in the wrong spot. Sometimes you're in a tough place, but if you work it out, it can change. And if it doesn't change, if you're able to change, then change. If you're not able to change, accept it for purification's sake. Stick it out, and you'll become intensely purified and you'll like it. Yes.
Krishna eventually will tell you if you are in the wrong spot. He will make an arrangement to make you change. Otherwise, it's like Nina said.
I was in the French part of Switzerland. I didn't know French. I didn't like the Frenchies. And I was there for 7 years. I sold about 150,000 great classics of India. They're those red, you know, red, dark red dust jacket books. Bhagavan printed them. You know, when he left, France went down. The books were almost confiscated by the government. They were brought to Italy. In Italy, the printer was after them because they didn't pay the printer. So then they came to Switzerland. They smuggled them into Switzerland. We had 150,000 Maha books. They were like first canto, BBT price, $13. Fourth canto, $13. Third canto, $13. So even if you sell them for 15, you know, which is really tough, you make a buck or two on them. The cheapest book was the second canto. It was like $7.80 or something like that. So it was really tough. But it made me. That's why I am the way I am, you know, because I really had to push hard. I had to learn the language, be with those people, while the other devotees were distributing in the German part. And then East Germany opened up, and they went to East Germany. And you could be lame, dumb, and blind, and you could go out and sell 300 books in East Germany. It was so easy. You couldn't believe it. You just walk out there and they would buy anything off of you. When that wall came down, people were driving in there with trucks and trailers full of stuff. And they just opened the back and just threw the stuff out and people would throw money at them. It was insane. Bhaktas who would do 20 books were doing 200 and 300 books. And I was in Geneva, you know, working my butt off with books who cost, you know, $8, $10, $13. And I was upset. I was fried. I said, this is unfair. We can't compete like this. This is like, you know, completely insane. But it was the way it was. And I had my party there. We were two or three renegade guys and we were covering all the French part, traveling there in the mountains and distributing books. And in retrospect, it was a wonderful time. So what you might think is the wrong spot might be the right spot. And you might be in the so-called right spot. You might be in LA or in London or in New York. There's a big temple. There's a lot of devotees, a lot of activity. And you're not doing any of it. You're just there going along for the ride. And you don't build up your own stamina. You've always been taken care of by the others. And all of a sudden, a bit of cold breeze, a bit of stiff breeze comes in, and half people leave. That's what happens. So you have to build up your own perseverance. And that means wrong spot. If your authority says this is the good spot for you today, you know, Papa Mario,
yes.
This is your zone, this is your spot. You know, I know that it's the worst part of town. It's the worst part of town, and I'm going to do the nice part. There is all the shops and all the offices. But you can do all these other places, you know. Then, in the beginning, you just have to accept it. And you work it out.
It was like this, exactly.
Anybody had this experience?
Yes.
Yes.
How did
it make you feel?
Very good.
Very good, yeah.
Because I didn't know anything. I just...
And you prayed every day for the health and welfare of your sanctuary.
I accepted whatever it came, and I find out later that it was another reality. But anyway.
Sometimes some people they go in Sankirtan and they choose, like they won't go to this show.
Yeah, pick and choose, but that's not... Book distribution is not about picking and choosing. If you're doing door-to-door, you do door-to-door, and you work systematically. You don't just pull into a town, and you do two shops and one building, and then you cross the town off and you move to the next town. That's not how you do door-to-door. You get a map of the town with all the streets, and you mark them as you do them, like this. And in this way, you do systematically the entire town. And when the town's done, you move on to the next town. That's how you do door-to-door.
There's a street distribution. One Ramananda Prabhu, he's giving an example. If it's a small town, then he's giving an example of putting cream on your skin. But you put cream and you don't put immediately another level of cream, right? You let it
sink in, yes.
So don't go every day into small city.
Yeah, if you have a small village, don't go there, you know, every second day. And work it with three or five Sankirtan devotees. Otherwise, even the nicest place becomes burned. I mean, it goes under common sense. But again, there's no such thing as common sense. So you just have to know these are bigger cities, you can put so and so many people in this venue. These are smaller places, you can put one devotee in this venue. Otherwise, you go, you know, to one of the Gold Coast towns and you put three or five fired up people. And you show up three times, and after that, the cops are on to you, and sounds familiar, right? It tends to happen. Okay, wrong spot, it's done. Language. Language might be a disadvantage, might be an advantage. As I said, you can learn languages. I have about a repertoire of about 8 or 10 mantras in different languages. You just learn them. You just ask a devotee, write them down phonetically, learn them. If it's useful, use it. Otherwise, just use, you know, hand and feet. Speak from the heart, even if they don't understand you. I have some friends, some Russian devotees, some others, they just know 3 words of English and I know 3 words of Russian. And we're best friends. And we understand each other and we communicate. You're laughing, but it's possible. I communicate more with that person than I do with some of the people who speak English. Because it's not about, you know, you remember, 7% is what you actually say, and 93% is all the rest. So all the rest counts. Okay, what you actually say also does count. But sometimes you understand each other from the level of the heart, and you don't need to, you know, yak yak, flap flap. So don't be too stuck up with language. If you're in a place, learn the language. It's not so complicated. If you want to spend a little bit of time in Germany, you want to spend a little time in India, you just have to learn it. You might not be from Bengal, but you have to learn a bit of Bengali, right? And it helps. Because you can't accept the people to adjust to your situation. We have to adjust to their situation. Have you seen in the States, if you speak a few words of Spanish, does it make a big difference? It does. And the people see, hey, this guy, he doesn't know, but he tries. Even if he sounds stupid, he tries. And they'll buy the book just because of that. How many books have you distributed like that?
Chairman, huh? CEO, we didn't know much Spanish at all. We distributed 10,000 books to
What was that? I didn't hear you.
We went to Hermosillo, Mexico. One time we don't know how much Spanish law. We distributed 10,000 books in 1 month.
Did you hear that?
10,000 books.
They didn't speak much Spanish and they went and did 10,000 books in 2 months.
1 month.
In 1 month.
True.
Whew.
They put us on prime time television.
Yeah. They wouldn't do that to you in LA or in New York or some other place. So again, you can see language as a disadvantage or as an advantage. The shoe salesman, you know, two guys, a shoe salesman. You know the story about Africa. One says, you know, Africa, nobody wears shoes. You can't go there. And the other says, hey, I want to go there immediately. So you can see it either as an advantage or as a disadvantage. See it as an advantage. It will help you. And try to work with it. Even if you're not that good with languages, you can always use your nonverbal communication skills.
What's the story about?
Story. Huh?
The one that you just...
That was the story. I just told it to you.
Why did the other person want to go?
Why? Because he thought nobody wears shoes. So why should I go there and sell shoes? Nobody wears shoes. So, the other guy saw the opportunity. Let me go there. Big market. Big opportunity. Alright. Misconceptions. Who had misconceptions? What kind of misconceptions? Otherwise I have a misconception about your misconception. Okay, I got it. I understand it. Thank you. I remember. You just have to, you know. Misconceptions are there amongst devotees. From both sides. Misunderstandings are there sometimes. So, important is that we understand what we're doing. And you can't expect that everybody will appreciate, you can't expect that everybody will understand what you're doing. So, that's just a matter of fact. If you're a book distributor, or if you're a intellectual, or there will always be people who don't understand and don't appreciate. But you have to know what you're doing. But at the same time, you should also understand that to distribute Prabhupada's books is the Yuga Dharma, it's the most important thing. And you also have scientific books. But you should see it as that they are complementing each other. But sometimes the tendency is that devotees will just distribute the books of their spiritual master and nothing else. Then we got a problem. But if you see those books as a bridge to Prabhupada's books, and you give them like together, you say like this is a scientific explanation, and with this you get into this, and then you give them the thing together, then it's, you know, it can be conducive. But a lot of times we tend to take things black and white, and that's why there comes misconceptions. If we have misconceptions, then other people also will have misconceptions. But if you don't have a misconception, you don't have a problem, then most of the people also don't have a problem. But we create those all little, you know, wars and fights. We create them in our own heads. Because of whatever reason. You know, some people, they just want to suffer. They don't want to be happy. They just need a reason why to suffer. And then you create those artificial dichotomies, you know? This either or this against that, or black and white, and good and bad, etc. Because you want to suffer. It's as simple as that. If you want to suffer, I can tell you 100 ways how to suffer. But if you want to be blissful, don't get into those misconceptions. And just be happy doing what you're doing. And don't try to justify, to explain, to win over. No, you just do what you do. And you understand. And you see things in a balanced way. And if others don't, that's their problem. That's not your problem. You shouldn't be upset. If somebody says, book distribution is not the highest service, then what do you do? You go, you take out your sword, and you say, you know, say that again, you know? Pashandi, you know? Stick out your tongue. I'll cut it off.
Also, you know, the problem what we face, because we generally preach in college and university. So there are other groups, you know, if one, two times this happened, Maharaj was preaching.
Other groups meaning? ISKCON groups?
I'll tell you. So
So what happened, Maharaj was teaching from long time in IIT Bombay, in a very good premier institute in engineering. And then Maharaj was preaching, and even Maharaj did Nagar Sankirtan inside the campus. It never happened in India. I think in world to do Nagar Sankirtan.
Okay, what's the point? Can
then
you
what happened, this other group, they were also preaching, once they went into the mass.
Other group means this kind of bodies or what kind of other group?
Yeah, ISKCON devotees.
Okay.
So they went into the mass and they told, you are eating nonsense, you are eating non-veg, you are going to hell, this and that. And then they went to the mass secretary and mass secretary reported to the director
and
everything was banned, you know.
Sure.
No ISKCON means everyone cannot go inside.
So then you have to speak to the person who is in charge of that program, of that party, to their authority, their temple president. You have to sit down with them. Even if it means you have to join the GBC and you explain to them this is the situation and this is the problem and they will deal with it. I'm convinced they will deal with it. But if you try to deal with it, forget it. No way. They're not, because who are you? They're not going to accept you. They're so convinced. They're so fired up about their, you know, preaching work.
What was the situation?
They don't see the long-term vision.
Yeah.
You have a long-term vision.
If you can't work something out, go higher. If you can't work it out, go even higher. If you can't work it out, go to the top. Go to Krishna. Krishna will tell you what's the proper thing. What can you do? Sometimes these things happen. It's unfortunate, but it's reality. But it's called friendly fire. You know, in a war, if people shoot amongst, you know, they shoot each other, they're part of the same... Actually, they're part of the same army, but they shoot each other because they forget who's enemy and who's friend. It's unfortunate, but it happens. So, you have to deal with that. And sometimes you just have to be tolerant and accept that people have different opinions, they have different ideas, and let them do their own thing. And you have to do some damage control. That's the best. Okay, we're moving on here. Money and pricing. Pricing of the book. That's a big topic. Prabhupada gave very clear guidelines. Again, every country is different. Like in India, the markup on the book is minimal because you can't buy a book from the BBT for 80 rupees and sell it for 160. When Gita Press is selling it for 10 or 15 rupees, you can't outprice yourself. But the pricing should be decided by the leaders, by the authority. It should be clear. It should be made known to everybody. It should be transparent. Usually, you have a formula. Prabhupada gave a formula. We can speak more about that in householders maintaining themselves with books, but it should be clear cut above the board. How much a book costs, how much you buy the book for, how much you sell the book. It should be standards. Now it's country-wise, it's different. So we can't say like this, like that. But whatever your country is, find out what the standard is, and stick to it. You can go a little down, you can go a little up, that's not a problem. But on an average, that's what you should do. And in this way, it will be clear, it will not be confusing, and devotees will not work against each other. Especially in India, you know. One book table sells the book for 120, the other sells it for 90. You've got yourself a problem. You might be in the same book fair, having the same Bhagavad Gita. One table 90, one table 120. Very confusing for the customer. They think either these people are, you know, they're a little disorganized or somebody's working the black market here, there's some racketeering going on, you know, like that. But then again, same book, different place, different price. One bottle of water. In the wholesale, in the retail, and in the airport. Completely different price. So, but you got to know what you're doing and it's got to be straightforward. Any questions to pricing? Yes?
So price the same book in Samadhi book table, 200 rupees, and same book in a digital, inside temple 300 rupees.
Not good. Not acceptable. Not acceptable. You have to bring it up with authority, and your authority and their authority has to sit together and find a solution. Because otherwise it's confusing to the distributor, it's confusing to the public, and gives us a bad reputation. If the product is the same, it's not acceptable. Of course, if you come here and you eat pizza here, you're ready to pay a little bit more because you get something different than when you go over there and you go over there. That's okay, that's acceptable, that's understood. You get a different package. But if you get the same product, then The price should be pretty much the same. Yes?
You say that we should go to higher authorities and then...
We should go to?
Higher authorities.
Excuse me, can you give your attention, please?
And then they share their information, no? So what I see many times, when you don't see these things like he says, I want to buy a book and give to someone, and then I have to go to all the stores to see which prices are there and get the best price. Get such a headache. Sometimes even they sell, now they're selling letter bands.
There is what?
They're selling letter bands for them.
Letter?
Yeah, letter.
Okay, that's a different topic.
But
letter bags is not the issue here. The issue is money and pricing.
When you go to higher authority, not necessarily they are ready to listen to you or to take care of you.
Well, it always depends how you address the higher authority. Because many times we come out of our own, you know, conditioning and we expect things to happen pronto, ASAP, now, immediately. Everybody drop everything and jump. Because I have made this huge investigation. But you have to understand, these are people, they're important people, they got lives, they got service, they got priorities, but they have to deal with it. And they will eventually.
How much is our mission? Because if we want to get results...
What is our mission? Our mission is to distribute the books. That is our mission. Our mission is not to police around campus. If I'm in India and I want to play the police, it doesn't work. What to do then? Yeah, if you want to be a controller and you want to be in India, it's the wrong place. It doesn't work. The material energy doesn't move in the way you want to control it.
So generally in our movement, not only in India.
Yes.
You can go, you can tell that this is happening, that is happening. Nobody will listen.
Yeah, but then what is our circle of influence? Us. Us, we can control ourselves. So let's make that happen. Let's work on ourselves and make the best. Yes, Prabhu.
Being in Kerala, it's very difficult to sell books. We go to villages and we make a price, not a price. We sell the local language. The local language.
Yes.
This Padayatra people came to our area. So they went around to their bookstore and then they got the whole lot of books from Bombay. And then they sold it at 85 rupees every year.
Yeah.
The next time when we go, we can sell them.
Of course.
So
pricing is important. That's why the leaders have to sit together and work out a system which is acceptable. This is the general's business. This is not the foot soldier's business. Foot soldiers fight. Generals make strategy. And if they can't make strategy, they shouldn't be generals.
In Germany, for instance, they have those fixed prices in the car, 22 euro for one article.
How much?
22.
That's retail price through a shop or through a temple, not if you sell it in the street.
Yes, in the shop, temple shop.
Yeah.
So then, you always got to know that on the street, we give it for 10 euros, sometimes even cheaper. So they feel
but that's not a problem. That's like the situation I made about if you buy it in the airport, or if you buy it wholesale, or if you buy it retail. It's three different prices. It's three different locations. That's not a problem. If you walk into a bookstore, into a regular bookstore, you pay a different price for a book than if you walk into a wholesale place, or if you walk into a second-hand bookstore. Or if you walk into an airport bookstore, you know that you're going to pay more in the airport. That guy is paying big money just to have his little store there. But it has to be clear to the devotees, and it has to be clear to the customer. And also, if you buy 10 or 100 Bhagavad Gitas, you should get a different price. They should not give it to you at wholesale, they should not give it to you at retail, they should give it to you at wholesale price. But what that price is, that you have to negotiate. I can give you general guidelines, but in knowing the people and in knowing the situation, it doesn't mean that much. You get what you negotiate. Some places, they will give it to you for BBT plus shipping, and they're happy with that. And in some places, there is a markup of 10%, of 20%, I would say maximum of 50%, not more than that. Anything above that is exorbitant. Even if you ask 50% markup, most people will not touch the books. They will do paraphernalia. And that's why we have so few book distributors. Because me, as a person who needs to make money, if I don't see myself making at least 25% of the total sale price, I will not touch a product. I can't afford to touch a product. I got overhead, I got car, I got home, I got kids, I got insurance, I got bills up the wazoo. It has to be clear. But if you're a brahmachari and all you do is book distribution, and whether you sell the book now for 5 or 6 euros, don't get too worked up about it. Because number one, it's not your money, it's not your problem. Just do service, be happy, hand it in to Krishna, and let him take care of it. Even how they spend the money. Otherwise you get into the whole thing, you know, on the weekend, let me see the accounts, how is things working out here, you know. It's somebody else's service. Division of duties, division of labor. Keep your mind peaceful, stay happy, stay on the positive side of the planet. If people are scheming and scamming and doing wrong things, you can bring it up to your authorities. But don't think that you are on a self-righteous trip here, and because Krishna has given you some shakti, some potency from doing the yajna, that now you have to police the entire movement and tell everybody from Bhakta Joe up to the GBC what their job description is, what they're doing wrong, and this and that. Because not only is it a breach of etiquette, but also, most likely, because we are conditioned living entities with, you know, the four defects, it will not be exactly reality. We should just stick to what is necessary for our service and not try to change the world, because the world is not ready to be changed by us. It's just the way it is. So that's money and pricing. We've got Maya and we've got the pretty girls and the pretty boys and the aggressors. Yeah, that other point there. About what?
About money for the aggressive.
Yeah.
The double BPT in America is $10, it's $4.25, and then 10 bucks is around the double 50.
Yes.
And a lot of times I say 15 or 20, so to get at least the 10.
At the end of the day, you should have approximate double BBT. One person might give you 50, one person might give you 5 bucks. End of the day, end of the game, it should work out, approximately. Not on an individual basis. Because you see, sometimes somebody pulls a dollar or two, sometimes somebody gives you 20. You just have to let the mercy fly. But if you're on a bookstall, on a book table in India, it's different. You may have a little bit of tolerance of 5 or 10 rupees, but not much more than that, right? Because otherwise you go under and your authority will not be happy. But if you're on the street, it's a different game.
When we distribute for 15, then we come in the cost of at least 2 more big books in the DVD. But you said you weren't too enthusiastic about the idea of giving more books.
No, because you will meet other students and poor people and people who want the books. And they have less money, so then you can give them the book a little cheaper. And if the person has given you $50 for a Bhagavad Gita, and you pile 3 more books on top of that, what happens?
He may not appreciate so much.
No, his appreciation just goes way down. Because for him, this book was worth $50. And it is. And you've just destroyed that. You just ruined that. By thinking, oh, I'm such a nice guy, I'll give him 3 books now.
A lot of times my experience is if I give them us for like we have the soft Bhagavad Gita, yeah, which we get, if they only give a few bucks, we give them the soft,
yes,
and if they give 20, we usually give a big book and a DVD, a big library. And a lot of times I find if I do pull it out, sometimes they'll either give the extra lakshmi or they say, oh, I'm good with the big one. But if a lot of times I say, like I end up giving them, I find I appreciate that. Do you think they're just saying that? Because a lot of times I give it to them.
If it works and the people appreciate it, then go with it. See what the result is. Some people can do it. Some not. Try. It's case by case scenario.
It's a scenario when someone gives you a big donation and you're saying, let's give them another book that might appreciate the value. Can you give them like a small something?
Yes. Always do that. People give nice donation, give them a higher taste, coming back, a little something as a they call it a gratuity, you know? A little candy, something, just, you know, to make it nice. whoa, I got something for free, you know? I mean, everybody knows they've paid for it by the other book. But everybody feels like, you know, whoa, you know, I've just eaten here and at the end, you know, I got a free dessert or a free juice or a free whatever. People are into free stuff. So you give them something free, it makes them happy. Whatever makes them happy. Okay, we're moving on.
Yeah. It's actually about the topic of money.
Yeah. No, we get back to the money. Okay. Anyway, money is there on every day. Don't worry. It'll get covered. But I'd like to finish up in the next 7 minutes. So, Maya, I think Maya is a general topic. It's kind of generic.
Well, you can put Maya in pretty girls.
Okay. All right. So the question is, how you deal with them? Well, any suggestions?
When I was getting trained up by Rocky Snuffenmaraj, he says, he told me, as many girls as I approach, as many on one hand, he said that you've seen it over the years, the men that approach the women, they don't last.
He only approaches men.
90% of my customers are women. So, if you're doing door to door, this is what happens.
Yeah, that's a scenario. But I mean, you have a choice.
Yeah, it depends where you are.
Other points? I let you guys do the talking.
See every woman is your mother.
Yes. Other points.
Así que me recuerdo una historia.
No, not stories. I just like to get. No. We don't have the time for stories. Sorry. No. Please.
There is an exercise in pranayama. When you are agitated, then you get free of the agitation by exercise. And you can do it even on the street, and no one knows that you do it. It's just a greeting.
Do you mean speaking?
Pranayama. You start to like do pranayama on the street.
You do it in such a way no one knows.
It's like a okay, guys, this is not working out. Fact of the matter is, half of the sky is ladies, half of the sky is men. How are you going to deal with it? If you got a problem, then it's a problem. Then you're going to have a hard time. Because if you try to avoid, or you try to only talk to these people, or only talk to those people, it's not going to work out. You're going to have a problem. Unless you have a lot of people, and you can always choose freely. But even then, you get too much judgmental, and that also is not good. So how are you dealing with it, ladies? You only talk to ladies?
No.
No. To men also. But if you see that you're always talking to the young guys, or to the guys who stand there and look at you and go like, then what do you do then?
Those are the guys who take the books from us.
What? They always take books from you.
You understand what's there, they take a book from you.
They take a book from you, yeah. But after a while, it's also not so good. Or it's not a problem. It's just the way how it works.
You approach everybody. You should be
yeah, you approach everybody.
All people, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Good looking, not good looking. That's not much real stuff.
That's all a bunch of?
That is so material stuff.
That is so material stuff, yes. But a lot of people, even distributors, are still in material consciousness. So that's why the topic is brought up.
Yeah,
and that's why they have to deal with it.
You
can come to the spiritual level and to the spiritual consciousness.
So but for all of us the same. There's all attractiveness everywhere in looking attractive. But you know, we know the most attractive is Krishna, so this is what is motivating us.
Yeah. This is but if you're trying to catch the fish, you will get wet.
Which fish?
Who is the fish?
Yeah.
You get the point. You got the point. If you're trying to use your personality to attract somebody, no, I'm not making this point for you. I'm just making this point in general terms. Has it ever happened to any of you? It has. Has it ever happened to any of you that you were using your own personality of being, you know?
This is why you're being trapped, because you're using your, this is why you're getting trapped into the net, because you're using the means
yes.
as a goal in this
yes.
project.
But that's exactly what she was saying.
Trapping, like being trapped.
That sometimes you just have to avoid the situation. Huh? Sarcastic?
Or, she
no, she didn't mean it sarcastic.
I mean, one day I was in Darmstadt, I was still thinking of this guy, I was looking at him the whole time, I just ignored him. Eventually he came to me, and I just threw the book to him. It's not that I went to him, I saw him staring, and I just...
No, that's all right. That's all right, you can distribute a book to everybody. But sometimes you find devotees who just distribute books to the opposite sex. And it's a problem, and it has to be recognized. And that's why we speak about it. Yeah, it has to be balanced. Mm-hmm. And if for some devotee it's better to not deal with members of the opposite sex, then that has to be respected.
Yeah.
And some sure. want to do it for everybody, and some just want to do it in a different way. It's a personal choice.
Whatever works.
Yeah.
Like if you're doing door-to-door, 80-90% is women.
But they are from 50 up.
But if you have the young brahmachari talking to the young girls on the street, then you have a problem.
Why?
Why? You don't have to ask why. You know why.
I think it's better to face a problem than not doing it.
But facing it in a way how you can actually learn something from it and you can actually become detached doesn't mean that you get into it. That's not the way how you deal with it. Yes, a lot of hands are up here. Lesson is over, break now.
Practical reality is what I've seen over the years is the people that go, I don't want to push the men, it's too difficult, I can smooth this woman into getting a donation. I don't see those people distributing long. I really don't. I do not see them distributing it anymore. And it's almost a guarantee. I see that pattern happening, and I know they're going to be gone in a short time, they're getting weaker and weaker and weaker.
Okay, next point. We just get a few points.
People in general these days are not happy. They're just putting it on.
Yes, we know that. Is it in relation to this
yes.
topic?
Okay,
please come
point.
To the point.
So
there's a lot of hands.
When you're going up, don't look at people as boy or girl. You have to look at them as a suffering soul. Bring them, make them understand that this is about them. This world is not good. Stay on them as anything.
Okay, thank you for that. You have a point.
Very much a matter of consciousness, not because...
Can you give your attention, please?
It's very much a matter of consciousness, because I have heard from some devotees, especially men, some horrible stories, of them knocking a door, and naked women opening to them, and they were, you know, like, confronted with Maya, and even someone who really, you know, had relationships with them. So, it never happened to me that someone opens the door and... According also to the mentality you have when you want something, if someone is looking for these things in your mind, then they also come out.
If you're out there distributing over a number of years, you will run into all the scenarios. You will face everything. Everything. And I mean everything. And you have to know how to deal with it. And if you're not trained, you will do the wrong thing.
Yesterday it happened to me, I was preaching to someone in the road here, and he was from South India, and he stopped me, he asked me where you come from, so I started to preach to him. And then I realized that the guy is, you know, not married, he's like over 40, and he's like, he didn't do anything strange, but he seemed to be sort of interested, you know. So I saw the Brahmachari is down. He said, can you take care of this gentleman, you know, take him to the temple. But they were not at all eager to preach, first of all. And the guy, when he saw the Brahmachari, he said, no, I better walk with you that way. So I said, I'm sorry, I don't have time now. I have to do my duties. And I said, if you want to join them, you can go with them. You have to cut with such people, because they're not interested to the books. They're
exactly.
not interested to the
philosophy.
They're only interested to you as an individual.
whatever we are interested in.
Mercy means sometimes if I cannot benefit a person, I just have to distance myself. If I cannot help this person, then I just have to distance myself. Other points?
I just want to do the same point here that you said right now. Depends on consciousness, like Mother said. Since the same person can be one day agitated, completely go on as they know. Depends how he was changing and everything. And if you are feeling during speaking that you are agitated, and you try to play condition, if it doesn't work, you're not attentive enough, your agitation is more, so get emotion. And just try to close up the deal as soon as possible. And just speak with your strictly in short. Is okay. A yes or no, just
thank
you.
I disagree with this idea of it depends on consciousness. I think it doesn't depend on consciousness. But we learn how to behave. That as long as there's enough of people of the same gender to deal with, why do we have to go cross gender? There's absolutely no need for it. And we know very well that the more we are exposed to a dangerous situation, the more the mind will dwell on it. So just knowing that is enough to keep it safe and keep it simple for ourselves.
Thank you for that. And now we're closing up.
As much as it's not a sentiment to think when you're doing the moment, to try to own a position. Like if you're out there going, oh, I have to liberate them because I'm doing the moment and they're all equal. That's how I see them. And therefore I was picked out, oh, the opposite sex because they're not being picked out by other people. Oh, they're pretty, so they must be more entangled. Let's pick on them and we're going to save them. You've got to actually know where you're at and check where your mind's at too, because your mind's just going to try and trick you to get yourself included.
Did you hear that point?
No.
No? Check your mind. Whether you're talking to this person, what happens in your mind? Does your mind think, oh, this is a servant of Krishna, let me give this person the mercy of Prabhupada? Or does your mind tell you, oh, this person looks, you know, attractive, or looks this or that or the other thing? So see what your mind does. Observe that. And then you have to put in certain restrictions. Okay. We draw a close here. This is a long topic. We can carry on later on if you like. It's not explored fully, I know. We still have zones. We still have aggressors. So, yeah. No. You want to finish? Who wants a break now and who wants to finish these two topics? Who wants a break? Okay, break it is. See you all back at 20 past 5. And we still have to go into... No, that wasn't even external challenges. It was just the topics which were on our temporary car park. We came up with this. Yeah, this morning, and we didn't deal with everything. So we'll finish the last few points. After that, we'll have some role plays, and then hopefully we'll also get into sources of inspiration. So please stay with me. It's going to be a packed lesson. So external challenges, we haven't yet dealt with aggressors, zones, and Maya. So aggressors, they're people who try to attack you. And it will happen to everybody at one point in time. If you go out and you preach and you distribute Krishna consciousness, you will find people who are aggressive. You will find people who are very disturbed, who are unstable. You'll find people who want to attack you. People want to hit you, want to hurt you, want to steal your books, want to cause harm to you. You have to know that and you have to know how to deal, how to react in such a situation. So, what is a good way of reacting? What is a good way of responding to such a aggression?
I've made the mistake many times and I've been advised that you don't feel anything. You know, so if someone's coming in and getting angry at you,
you don't tease them, you don't feed their anger.
Yeah, just try to avoid it if you can. Sometimes
okay. Otherwise, what happens if you feed the fire?
Yeah, it just goes off.
Don't stop, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, it just devours you. Okay, other advice?
Ignore them.
You can try to ignore them, but usually aggressors, they're not so easy to be ignored. They're quite...
Yeah, they're looking for you.
They're looking for you, and they know they've got your number, and they want you back.
Walk away?
You can walk away, or you can run away. Usually, you know, that was my solution to the scenario. When I'm in a difficult situation, and I mean really a difficult situation, I just run 50 or 100 meters. I got long legs. People are not into running. They're like, okay, he's given up. He has surrendered. You know, I win. You lose. And I'm like, okay, it's all right. I lost. And I move on. It's not a big thing. But if you stay and you want to fight it out, it means trouble. Take out your cargoes, or better, your wampers, and just pray to Lord Shingre for protection. Yes. Other points?
Yeah, this is my experience as a prevention. Whenever I get out of a temple, you know, I always reposition myself because this doesn't happen anymore.
Yes.
You know, you're not in the temple anymore. So, if you are prevented like that, it always happens, and whatever happens, somehow Krishna is
protecting you, working things out. Good, good point. Who else?
I have a question. Because, you know, when someone, you know, rests upon us, we're supposed to tolerate, but upon another body, we're supposed to not tolerate. So, this has happened to me. My friend has stopped somebody in a bad way. Like, I just pushed them as I walked past, I tapped them a little bit the wrong way, and then they turned around and pushed him quite aggressively, and I just tried to...
Yeah, but then you have to see what is the situation. This devotee was at fault. This devotee didn't behave properly, and that's why he got a reaction. Then if you then jump in and, you know, take the guy down and tackle him and pound him, then that's foolishness. Sometimes people push you, sometimes people will, you know, be rude and nasty, even spit at you. You have to tolerate it. You can't be like them. You can't just get angry. But if they really get physical and they want to hit you, they want to harm you, you have to protect Krishna's body, Krishna's temple, and you have to just leave.
Well, I didn't aggress him, but I knew he got the... Instead, he turned on me, and I knew he got the... Like, he's a big guy.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, it's very humble.
Okay.
Because Lord Nityananda and Thakur Haridas, they also ran away together.
They ran away? So it's authorized. Don't feel like I'm a coward, you know, there's something bad, you know. I tried to fight so many people and I got into trouble. Not lately, but long time ago. You know, then the police takes you down, they book you, they write you down. Because you're always the culprit, because you're the missionary. You're the guy who's out there hustling. You're the person who is doing something. It's not the regular Joe, you're the problem. So in the eyes of the authorities, it's always your fault. Always. And we had very bad situations, you know, which were created mostly due to our own stupidity. So try to pray right from the beginning when you chant the japa, when you go out on Sankirtan, pray for protection, pray for clarity, pray to be at your best, and be tolerant. There will be difficulties. And if another devotee gets aggressed, you have to try to step in and protect that devotee. Sometimes you can call on the authorities or on the police, but don't expect too much. Sometimes they're the worst aggressors. They're worse than the other people. So, take shelter of Krishna and His holy name. Krishna always protects His devotee. But sometimes He wants us to learn a lesson also.
You mentioned you can take help from authorities. Is that helpful?
It's time, place, circumstance. If it just ruins your day and it becomes too complicated. One time I was distributing books. There was a guy. He was a little weird. I think he was on drugs or an alcohol or something. First he bought books, then he came back, then he punched me. And it was really very weird, you know? And then I went to the police, and then I described him, and they say, yeah, we know this guy, we've had several incidences with him, he's been booked before, but nothing ever comes of it. So if you want to pursue it, you lose a lot of time, you lose money, you have to show up in court. You know, it's your choice, it's your call, what do you want to do? And then you just, you know, let it go. I already lost an hour and a half, and I still got beaten, so but I thought, oh, this can't be, you know, this is not fair. And another guy in Geneva, he was a big stocky guy, it was me and Bakhtalabia, and he's a tough guy too. So we were both, you know, fired up brahmacharis. We thought, this guy's getting nasty on us, you know, let's jump him. Because, you know, he wanted to steal a book or just, he was very rude. So we wanted to take it back from him. And then he just put his fist, you know, to my chin. And for 4 days it hurt like anything. So then a person who stand next to me said, you know, this guy is a prize champion in boxing here. I mean, don't fight with this guy, you know. He likes to punch me. So sometimes let him have the book, let him, you know, let him win. It's okay, we don't have a problem. Even in devotees, when you have arguments, okay, you know, it's all right. I don't want to upset you. Take the humble position. But sometimes the humble position doesn't work. Like that example with the, who was it? The snake who got attacked because he became a devotee. Then he got attacked by the kids throwing stones and stuff. So then he got advice. Sometimes you have to show your hood, you know? You have to give him a strong look and tell him, look, that's that. That's it. You get out of here. Now. And then you have to see if they actually get the message and leave or if they become more angry. There's different types of aggressors. Some of them you can handle, some of them you can't. You have to distinguish. Okay? Enough for aggressors? All right.
One advice for the ladies to call the police immediately. For the ladies, a little different. Because the ladies are really protected from the law. So just, you know, I'm calling the police right now. And they get scared. And they get
okay? Zones. Zones should be clear right from the beginning. Sankirtan leaders should know where the devotees go. There should not be any conflicting zones. Like if you're in a temple or in a yatra or in a country, it should be very clear who goes where and distributes what at what price. This is all logistics. This has to be discussed on the green table, as they say, on the negotiations table, and not out in the field. Not that you run into other devotees who are distributing in the same town, they want to do the same place, there's three vans at the same venue. That's stupidity. But then you should resolve it in a friendly way. You should say, okay guys, maybe we can work something out. You do half day, we do half day. Or you realize that it was somebody's mistake. Whoever's mistake it was, they have to pack up and leave. Not that you fight amongst yourself. That's not very good. It kind of, you know, kills the spirit. Any questions to zones? All right. What else we got?
That's it. Hi, Alex.
Yes.
Hello. This was discussed on the other side. Also, challenge can be other services.
We already discussed that, other services. That was lack of temple support and also lack of organization in the temple.
No, if it's not the imposed services, but the services that what you must do.
Uddhava, you want to share that with us? Did you hear what he was saying?
Yeah.
Okay, please pay attention when somebody's speaking. Prabhu was bringing up the point that sometimes it's not service which is imposed on you, but you want to do other service as well. We will get to that in day 4 or 5. Other services?
4.
Tomorrow. We'll deal with that tomorrow. Yes. Yes. We'll deal with that tomorrow. Okay? You had a point back there? The dogs. What about the dogs? So dogs. Everybody has their own ways of dealing with dogs. Some like them, some don't like them. It's usually with people. If you're afraid of them, they tend to become more aggressive. And if you're sure and you know what you're doing, then they're not so aggressive. So it's usually It's a personal thing. If you hate dogs, just avoid them. Just go to the next house. But sometimes you just have to make friends with them. If you don't have a problem with them, they shouldn't have a problem with you. You know, Super Soul is also in the heart of the dog. But if you're scared, if you're afraid, then the dog senses that and they really go for you. But if you're like, hey, doggy, how's it going? You know? And you give them a rub, then they're like, okay. But if you, then they come, you know? They want to get up on you. Still, sometimes they try to, you know, bite you a little, get up on you. Yeah, you can give them a cookie if you have.
You look at them straight in the eye and with your finger go.
Ha!
And you know, prove that that's
good luck. Good luck.
That's an Indian dog.
That's an Indian dog. Because the Indian dogs are humble. In the West, it's a different
thing. Michigan Lane
in
America. Robot was on the jungle walk.
Yeah.
And his dog comes racing, and all the devotees got scared, and they start running. And Prabhupada stands, and with his hand, he goes, HUT! It was a very scary dog. And the dog went like that.
That's what never happened in the story. What happens when the other devotee tries that? And another devotee came, and the dog was running at him, and he saw Prabhupada. So he also came out, HUT! And the dog was RAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAAA
what?
And then the dog.
I don't know what happened to his friend, but I did it and it worked.
Okay. Alright. So that's your homework till tomorrow. You can find yourself some dog and train, you know? And on the last day we'll have a rehearsal out in the park. Okay? So much for dogs, zones, challenges, Maya. I'd like to move on now. And we do a little bit of role play. Thank you for staying attentive and alert and giving all your good input and your good feedback here on these topics. These are not topics where you have like sometimes clear-cut, black and white, hard and fast rules, but it's on a personal basis. What works for you might not work for another person. We just give you the general principles which you have to apply in your own personal lives. So what we're doing right now is,
could we please discuss about the competition?
Competition. We already spoke about competition. But you came late, my friend. So, you missed it. I'm not going to repeat myself. Please try to be punctual. We're starting on time and we'll try to finish on time. You can ask somebody who was here. So we have a few different challenges. And we're going to hand these out to the different tables. And then, how are we going to do it? Who's going to, we ask for some volunteer to be the book distributor? Or I'll just read them out and I want to hear you defeat them. These are all objections and excuses. Objections and excuses. And you have to defeat those objections and excuses. I've got, are you with me? I've got no money, but I'm on my way to the bank. I'll be right back in a minute. Have you ever heard this? You just wait right here. I'll be right back. I'm just going to the bank and I'm coming right back. Okay, we got five solutions here. Wow. Okay, who hasn't said a thing yet? You want to say something?
Why don't you just go and ask the person, can I go with you? I can take a walk with you?
I'm not so sure.
Well, better than you going alone. Then we can have a conversation and I can explain you more about the book. It's very interesting.
Okay. What if the person says no?
I won't look at.
Huh?
I said I turn my back when you look at when you insert, you know, like I'm not going to check your anything like your card or anything like that.
If they don't want you to walk with them to the bank, that means they don't want to buy the book.
Yeah.
They just want to give an excuse.
Yeah, this is why you're going with them, so you make sure that they don't forget about you.
Yes.
Okay.
You don't ask them.
You don't ask them.
You just go with them.
But that's not very polite if you don't ask them.
No, you talk to them. Keep talking.
Okay, you can try. How many people actually want you to go with them to the bank?
Not so much.
Out of 10? How many? Zero. How many?
How many what?
Out of 10 people who say, I got to go to the bank to get money, how many will want you to walk with them?
You must see if it's sincere.
Yes, let's see if you're...
You can try. But don't be disappointed.
The line is, you mean, will you be one of the 1 out of 10 who actually comes back?
Okay, good one. Ekalavya, then you?
Yeah, I was just going to walk with him in the bank.
Try. Okay.
If he's with a good, also stressed, he'll make a joke and say, like, you know this philosophy about here and now, right? So now I'm here, you are here, who is here? That's a fact. Later, who knows? And then some of them appreciate it. And then you click right.
Okay.
I was thinking to give them a book so that they feel obliged. Now you keep the book and you come back and pay me when you pay the money to the bank.
Did you do that?
Yes, sometimes.
He's a nice guy. Does that work always?
Sometimes you have to, I mean, most of the time you have to just deal with the situation. You are in this situation, so the best thing is to give the book and say, look, this is not expensive. Maybe you don't need to go to the bank. Maybe you have enough in your pocket. And then we can do our mantra like that. Because, you know, if it is not an excuse, then...
A lot of... Yes, Parameshwar, thank you for that. Parameshwar?
You don't take cash anymore. That's very easy.
Yeah. You got a machine. He's got a machine. They can swipe the card. Practically.
Right now.
Okay. You had a point?
I was going to say so.
Okay. A lot of times, why do these objections and excuses come up? A, they don't want it. B,
they don't trust
you. They don't trust you. C, they're not convinced. D, no time, no money. We'll get to that. Different objections. Bottom line is, they're not convinced. You haven't really touched them sufficiently. What I usually do is go deeper into the presentation and really make sure they want it. And a lot of times if you see that it's a person who just can't say no, they're those kind of people, they just can't get it over to say no. It just pains them too much. They don't want to see you suffer. They just can't say no. Then you have to say no for them. It happens. You just have to say, look, you know, it's not a problem. Come on, get it out. Just say no. Once, you know, once in your life, be a man. Say no. You know, can we do it? 1, 2, 3. No. All right? And they're like, no, actually, I want it, you know? Like that. Don't be attached. And funny things will happen. They will actually say, yeah, come with me to the bank, you know? You will see. But you have to specify, you have to clarify. Is the person actually interested? Or is it just a lame excuse? And don't go for lame excuses. Because they're lame. They, you know, they go nowhere. Okay. Next one. Don't be so pushy. Have you ever heard that? Why are you pushing me so much? Why are you so aggressive? If you would have said it in a nice way, yes, I would have given you a donation. But because you're so pushy, I'm not going to give you any.
It's just a projection, basically. They're just projecting something of their minds. This is because they feel something and they're projecting onto you.
Maybe.
This could not be the reality. This is just
maybe.
You can just excuse yourself. Say, oh, you're right. Excuse me. Somehow I'm tired today or whatever. Yes. Excuse me. Send yourself your right name.
It never hurts to apologize in a genuine way. Oh, even if you have not done so, but if they have perceived it, apologize. A lot of times the people are like, no, it's okay, it's okay, it's all right, you know, don't feel bad about yourself. It's okay, it's fine, you know? And you're like, no, you know, it's my fault. And they're like, no, it's fine, it's fine. But as long as you're self-righteous, then, you know, you're reinforcing their misconception. But sometimes no matter what you say, the person will have an argument, they will have an excuse, they will just babble on. And then you just have to move on. Okay, next point. Why are you doing this?
Why?
Like you make the whole presentation, the whole mantra, you've said what you wanted to say. And after 3.5 minutes.
Because this can save your life. This can save your life.
Okay, why else?
You say we should struggle with money suffering humanity.
Help people with suffering humanity. What else?
Because I like it.
Because I like it, yes. Because?
Make you happy.
Make you happy.
I read these books for myself for years.
Yes.
I like them, I want to share.
Now my question to you is, what have you been doing the last 3.5 minutes? That this person is asking you, why are you doing this?
You are just mechanical speaking.
You're just a robot. You have just ba 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 book donation. Ba 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 book donation. And the person is like, why are you doing this? He just didn't get any of it, you know? It just, have you ever had that? You went through it, the whole thing, and you're at the punchline, and he hasn't understood zip. I mean, you have to start from square one. You have to go right back. So don't be uptight and say, what, you stupid, ignorant fool? Haven't you been listening? I have talked to you for 3.5 minutes. I could have spoken to so many nice people. No, we are the fool. We are ignorant. Confirm. Because if they are really saying, why are you doing this? It means you have not been able to convey much of what's going on here. So it always helps to mention your baseline, your bottom line mantra a couple of times so that people hear it and that they actually, you know, get the drift of what's going on here. So that not at the end it's like, can you tell me again? What are you doing here? What's this all about? What's going on here? Has that ever happened to you?
Could also be because they are too much into their own bubble.
They're in their own bubble, yeah, but then you have to get them out of their bubble.
Sometimes it takes time, you know, you're not...
Yeah, takes time.
Sometimes
you just have to give them the book on the go. And don't expect too much of reciprocation. Not everybody is at their full command of their, you know, full century perception. What else we got here? I've got these books already. How do you react to that one? I already have this book. Please raise your hand. There's a lot of students. We have heard you. Yes. Please. I've got this book already.
Yeah. I mean, don't you can have another.
Another one. Why? I already have one.
Yeah, but I have another in this thing. You can have it there in this.
Yeah, but this I have exactly this.
No, no. But I have so many. You choose.
Oh, you have different ones?
I have a table different.
Oh, okay. All right. What else?
You have always often some other books in hand, but also, well, I always ask them for what they go have. Books is sometimes they've never been.
Okay.
Never seen it, so they're saying that.
And then you could maybe say something like, oh, that's a really difficult book. You know, you've got the most difficult book there is. But here, this is an introduction. This will be real easy, you know, to get into things. In India, they mostly say, already have the Gita, already have the Gita. Then what do you say?
I asked him,
a lot of times when they're saying, what Prabhupada was making, a lot of times when they're saying, I already have the book, they may have another Bhagavad Gita, or they may have another book on yoga or meditation, but it's not one of Prabhupada's books. So you have to specify.
Specify and then explain the best
book. The advantage of Prabhupada's book, and then.
The advantage is the best book that is in the Buddhist world of art. We have spent so many books in Parayana, so much that he says 79 books in the publishers. It's a very popular book. And I have the
comments. Okay, thank you.
Can you
yes.
Repeat this, please? Say it again.
Can you speak out loud?
Yeah. We ask the first, which author will have the book, and then they will say something. And we say that we know about Prabhupada, and we explain about Prabhupada, who is Prabhupada. And then we say that this book has got more explanation, we show the book, like that, and it has got hardcore 2 pages for each sloka. And then we ask him whether he has such a detailed book you have. Then we tell him that this book is being translated in so many languages throughout the world we are selling. This is the book, this is the world of art, that this is the best for both the guy also. So we ask him very much.
Thank you for that. We got Vasudev Prabhu. And then it's enough for that one, please.
Yes, I also read so many Gitas before, and none of them changed my life. In fact, I never met anyone whose life was changed by any other Gitas than this one, which somehow or other has made disciples all over the world.
Thank you. Okay. Now, we've come to a few famous ones here. These are the all-time greats, the all-stars. These are the top 10. The ones which you might have heard every now and then. I got no money. Have you ever heard that one? Strikes a bell, yes.
No problem, give me your watch, your phone.
Okay, we take jewelry, we take phones, we take your laptops. Yes, what else? Yes, ask them back, well, how much is no money? And they go like, well, you know, let me see. Well, I got 100 rupees. And you say, that's okay, that's all right. And then they give you the 100 rupees. You know, it happens a lot of times. Because for them, no money means not a lot of money. It means just something, you know. What else?
You say, I have change if you like. And then you say, I can get a wireless that I'm very machines.
Okay. They have a credit card machine, yes.
Or you can change.
I say, should not be a million.
Sure then?
Should not be a million.
A million. Okay, it doesn't have to be a million, you know? Just give something. Alright, other points.
If we have no money to pay this book, we have got smaller books.
Okay, we got small books, yes.
Tomorrow, same time, same place.
Tomorrow, same time, same place. See you. Have a nice day. Moving on. Next person. Vasudev?
You have done like, maybe you do have something like this pocket here. I often know them. I do have something.
Okay, Guruvan?
If they're with a friend, sometimes I ask their friend to loan them money.
Yes. Very good point. Parameshwar.
Don't worry about it. Give whatever you can. I got to stop back.
Sure. Give whatever you can. I have a soft copy, a softback. You know, if the big book, the hardcover is too expensive, you give him a cheaper book. Okay. Then next one. I got no time. You ever heard that one? What up?
These books are patient. They will wait.
They will wait for you, right? Vasilius.
Do you have 15 or 20 seconds?
15 or 20 seconds.
Yes. I tell me also, you don't have time. Only you need to take the book and read it.
Okay, yes. I'm very busy. Let's do this quick then. Right? Okay, what else?
I pay a great price for your time.
I pay great price for your time. Okay, interesting.
I want about 30 seconds.
30 seconds? Can you spare 30 seconds?
Let's do it quick. Here's the book you can donate.
Okay. All right.
I know how to run.
Please raise your hands.
This is also timeless.
Timeless. Okay. What do you say? People say they have no time.
This book will give
His book will give you time, yes. You can be running, 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 but actually, where are you running? Where are you running to and what are you running from? And then they're like, huh? What do you mean? Just make them think a little.
Actually, this book is time.
Okay?
It's just a time, yeah.
Good.
Take it anyway.
Take it anyway.
Okay, let's go jogging.
Let's go jogging.
This book is time, now you have that time.
If you don't have time, just keep it in your home, you'll get a benefit.
If they smoke and I ask them, may I ask you how much cigarettes you smoke a day? And they said, well, usually 10. So you see if you, and each cigarette how much takes? 5 minutes. Okay, you smoke 2 cigarettes less a day, and you've got time.
For me, it's amazing. I can't figure it out. You know, there's people like, they stand around. You obviously, they're not in a rush. They don't have a hurry. They're not going anywhere. They say they don't have time. And they just stand there for half an hour. I mean, it beats me. I don't get it. So then usually I just let them be. And after half an hour, I come back. I said, like, you already have read the first chapter by now. You know?
Or sometimes they are walking very slowly. But nevertheless, they
have their... Yeah. Basically, again, all these excuses, it just means, I'm not convinced, who are you anyway, what's going on here, I'm confused, can you be more specific? Sometimes it also means, get lost, I want to get rid of you, get out of my space. So you have to feel, what is it? Are they just not yet specified as a potential customer, or are they just not interested as such? Yes, last point.
Don't you create curiosity among the people?
Yes, you can, but a lot of times you also have to see that if you're already on the point of no time, no money, no this, no that, usually it's a downhill race. Means usually you've already lost. It's not the initial thing or not the first thing people tell you. Usually it's in the interaction where they say something like that. In the beginning, when you see somebody and you connect with them, usually you have a window of opportunity, which is anywhere between a split second and maybe 20 seconds at the most. In that time, the person makes up their mind whether they want to deal with you, they want to listen to you, or not. If you're able to actually go deep and straight with the person, you won't hear these things. Have you ever noticed when you're connected to the super soul, you're connected to the internal energy, how little you hear those things? And if you're just a little bit, you know, spaced out, that's all you hear. You could write a book about it, you know, with many chapters in many different ways and styles. I mean, it's amazing with what type of excuses people can come up with. It's like, it's really, sometimes it's mind-boggling. I don't read.
It's not a reading book.
It's not a reading book.
It's more of a meditative book.
Okay.
On the shloka. You see, one, two, or three of those a day.
Okay. Meditate. Look at the pictures. Put it under your pillow. Get the good energy. You're a spiritual person.
You don't like to eat, right? But you like to eat. I'm usually, yeah. Of course,
kung fu. Kung fu. Okay. Just who are you anyway? Who the hell are you? Huh?
So we're monks. We're in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. We're not Hare Krishnas.
Okay. Yes.
I'm a member of the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. We print the literatures of ancient India from all over the world.
Okay.
Who do you think we are?
Yeah, well, how do I look like?
Say something they can relate to. For example, we are living nearby a place very famous in Italy. So we are missionary that we are from near that place. So they hear something they can relate to. So they become more easy. So you can build up more.
Try to build a bridge.
Usually it works.
Local.
Yeah, something which they're, you know,
they can refer to. Because if you say something they don't know, they say no, because it's foreign. Idiosyncrasies. Something they don't know, they just reject it.
Sometimes I said I was a yoga teacher.
Okay. Whatever you are, that's who you are. So you just say, whoever you are, that's the most convincing thing. Sounds easy, right? I'll come back later. Just wait here. I'll come back later. Are you going to be here at 4 o'clock?
I'll come.
You're saying?
Well, I know that they say, yeah, okay, 4 o'clock. I'm there at 4 o'clock. He's not around. I waste at least 30 minutes of my time. So I just say, you know, straight up, are you for real interested in this stuff? You say no, no problem, won't hurt my feelings, but just be real with me. I need your report if you want, you know, cell phone number or whatever, wait, but just be real with me right now, for sure. It saves so much time.
That's good. I don't know, I'm not convinced.
If you read, you can know, then you can relate.
I'm not convinced. I don't come to the temple. I'm out here on the street. I'm not convinced.
It's like a science experiment. You have to give it a go and see the result.
All right, fair enough.
So the reason why I'm here on the street all day is because I am convinced that this book is just what you need.
All right. That's the bottom line. I'm not convinced means you're not convinced. I don't have any money means I'm not sure whether this is valuable. I don't have any time means I'm not sure whether this is worth my time. That's what it boils down to. It sounds like the hard truth, but that's what it is.
It's us.
It's us. Of course, it's us. It's always us. That's the nice thing about Sankirtan. And because it's us, we can actually do something about it. If it would be them, it would be hard to change it. But because it's us, we can actually do something about it. Now, how are we going to do that? We'll hear in the next half an hour from Anakudunda Biprabhu. Because there is something you can do about it. You can just come in from a totally different angle, totally different perspective, play a totally different game. That's what we want to hear about now. In Sources of Inner Strength and Inspiration.
Okay.
Please take it away.
So, I will read from Nectar of Instruction 2. One's devotional service is spoiled when he becomes too entangled in the following six activities: eating more than necessary or collecting more funds than required, over endeavoring for mundane things that are very difficult to obtain, talking unnecessary about mundane subject matters, practicing the scriptural rules and regulations only for the sake of the following them and not for the sake of spiritual advancement, or rejecting the rules and regulations or the scriptures and working independently or whimsically, associating with worldly-minded persons who are not interested in Krishna consciousness and being greedy for mundane achievements. Now, there are really a lot of things that we can use to have inspiration in order to do sankirtan. I will tell you a story that happened to me a few years ago. I was on a marathon, and for me, marathon was, you know, competition in general is something that I really like, but sometimes it gets over my system. So this was one of these days. So I was in this town, and I was too attached to the result because of the competition. So the result was that nobody was, I just found this, no time, no money. So all these excuses, and I knew that it was me. You know? I just was in front of a mirror, and this was, you know, the reality. So no matter if it was marathon time, I needed a break because otherwise I would spoil the whole town. It was, you know, and I know that these persons that were making all these excuses, some of them were sincere, but because of me, that I was too attached to the result, they were not responding positively. So I went back to the car, and can I borrow you, Bhagavad Gita? I went back to the car, and I said, I have to take shelter in these books, because I remember Harinamananda in 1995, Harinamananda Prabhu from Switzerland, he said, the source of inspiration for distributing these books are very near to you. They are in your hand, and they are the books in itself. So I remember that, so I went back to the car, I opened the Bhagavad Gita, just like that. And of course now I have a mark, but I didn't have that. So I read 2:37. O son of Kunti, either you will be killed on the battlefield and attain the heavenly planets, or you will conquer and enjoy the earthly kingdom. Therefore, get up with determination and fight. So again, wow, that's really good. So just close the book, get up, and I was really far away from my spot. I said, okay, this is the battlefield. I have to go out here where the car is. I went out, and after 3 mantras, a whole Srimad Bhagavatam set went out in an amazing way. This lady said, when she saw me, what, who are you? Come in. And she was like scared and surprised. She said, I dreamed about you last night. That you were coming to my home and bringing me spiritual. No, that was amazing. But it's reality. It was like that. So this is the potency of these books. No, they are potent, really. So this is a, you know, something that you can never forget in all your life. So this gives you also the strength to distribute them because they have such a potency, you know, in itself, in themselves. They are precious. And there are so many other sources of inspiration that you can have to. What do you think? Where do you take refuge when you are in difficult situation besides books? Raise your hand first. The Maha Mantra. So chant some extra rounds. This also helps. Yes. Any other? Prasad. That's very good. Actually, this is another instance that occurred to me. I was also in a marathon. And I made a strange vow that marathon that I wouldn't take any prasadam for lunch because I want to do more hours. I was a little bit fanatic, but my body at that time was very strong. I had a lot of strength. But I took some prasadam just in case. And actually the second day, you know, they really punched me in the face. I mean, I was really down. And that piece of cake that I had, you know, gave me a little strength because, you know, I took refuge in prasadam and said, I know you are Krishna. I see you as a cake, but you are Krishna. So give me strength to go on and to fulfill, you know, the desire of Srila Prabhupada. And that helped. And the afternoon was great. So prasadam is good. And anyone? Any other one?
You can call other Sankirtan devotees. Devotee who can support you.
Yeah, that's also good, yeah? Anyone else?
That book is very inspiring. The other book is which you can always get into this. It's not an instrument.
Can you speak a little louder, I think, when you hear?
The book, Art of Book Distribution, is very inspiring, but it is not there in the stores. We can always carry with us.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, we have it in our hands, we are distributing them, so.
No, this book.
Oh, this book. Yeah, actually I suggest, especially marathon, at least in Italy, every day we are reading one verse of Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita in the morning and 10 minutes of this book, especially this section for marathons. And it works, really it works, really brings you to the right, you know, you are tuning up to the Sankirtan mission.
How do you get
That is in, Navina will take
we'll
care
of. We'll find out and let you know.
We'll find out.
The same books you have in your hand, you see them like giving. And sometimes there is Krishna's picture. And I believe as if I was in the temple in front of the giving, I take shelter of that picture.
Sometimes I do strange, I did strange things. Like, you know, when I, nothing works, then I find a secluded place and slap my face. Very hard, because I knew that I was spoiling the spot, I was spoiling the persons, but, you know, this is, I mean, for me it worked in these times. I don't do it anymore, but, you know, sometimes you have to just shake up, you know, wake up. Any others?
I did second in Brazil, I always carry short top at a pass, so that's some kind of a cool down.
You can hear. I see. When you are outside, be sure that you find a quiet place, not just because you want to be quiet, because the people that see you will not have a wrong impression of what you are doing. So if you want to read a little bit, you are very far away from the car, or you are just dropped by other devotees, just find, you know, place in the park, just sit down like normal persons. Just don't walk on the street, you know, and like, you know, or chanting around in the street, like that, you know, this will look very strange. Navina?
We used to go to the churches to read. It was a nice place because nobody's there. It's just really quiet. So it was really good for reading and for chanting. But for taking rest, it was horrible. It was terrible. So many ghosts in there. It was really scary stuff. So if you want to take a nap, don't do it in a church. It's really the wrong place. There's a lot of entities moving around there. So sometimes a short nap also does wonders. Like sometimes you really feel I'm not so well, so you just need to lay down for, you know, 15, 20 minutes and tap into the Akash and get some energy from Brahman and then again go out in full strength.
Any others? Somebody else that didn't speak yet, Mataji?
One time I stay in one small village, everybody stay very angry. They stay thinking I must fight something for they can't take the books. And I tell, I tell to the people, this is one concourse or concourse.
Competition
for who can smile better. I have young enough sticker, no? And when they smile because I don't like that. Who can smile better, no? And that is, I did this in the same time I did the book, no? Before nothing happened because they stay very angry, everybody. And when I start this, everybody take the book, no?
Everybody understood?
No.
She's distributing Jagannath, which is always smiling. And so the people got the, you know, the feedback from Jagannath, so she can, is able to distribute by the mercy of God.
One meditation I have sometimes is to think that I'm walking in the Lord Chaitanya Lokiki and I'm lying on the rest of the field. And they are going on Sankirtan. And I'm just together with them and I'm doing this. So they are first knocking at the door and then I would meditate on them, pray to them. I think they are here with me because sometimes I felt a little bit alone. So I thought, I don't want to be alone, I want to be with Krishna. So I had this whole meditation and then walking with the whole group. And
so this is a very good one. Pray. We have always to pray Krishna. Always, always. Hare Krishna, in the mind, aloud, half aloud, not too aloud, otherwise they think. Anyway, now there are cell phones, everybody's talking by, you know, blah, blah, blah. So, that's. But before it was a little strange if you see somebody talking by himself. You know, it's a problem.
You chant Shivshastikam prayers. It's nice. You need some inspiration.
Yeah, some verses that inspire you, like Shivshastikam. Very good. You just stick to them, you know. Something that really inspires you. You just, you know, have it in your mind, always present. Yeah, this is also working. Any others?
Remember it's a mission of spiritual master.
Pardon?
Remember it's a mission of spiritual master.
Yeah. Chant the spiritual master pranam. ask for shelter. You know, is Krishna who is distributing these books? We are not. We are not the doers. We all have to remember that. As soon as we are in the shoes of a doer, then all this, I don't have time. They all come one after another. But if we are giving out the mercy in the proper way, then the people are responding.
So who I am? I try to remember that I'm going to die any moment, that is inevitable. So I better keep Krishna in my mind, and that keeps me on my toes.
Yeah? Yes, thank you for that. Also, if you have quotas, this also sometimes helps. Sometimes it's a knife that can cut you or help you. But also if you have quota, you know, I want to go out, this is the best quota. I want to stay out for 10 hours. Because if you are, the quota is number of books, then you can get a little bit attached to the result. But you cannot get attached to the result of going out 10 hours. You're just out 10 hours and you do your best in these 10 hours. This is much better than numbers of books. But both, they can work. It depends. You have to see on yourself how they work. Anything else you can think of?
Parameter. Well, it's silly, but it works. When I know I'm not doing well, I know that usually the my or the genus is low. So I remember throwing that list of I don't know the details, but I can't remember. But even then, if you actually do that, it's like a shift, like when you read Robert the Gita.
Yes.
I personally appreciate it so much.
Yes.
And then there's a whole different quality.
Yes. And also association with the Vaishnava. Sometimes you are, this was brought up also in Vijaya, I was hearing that. Sometimes you don't have a very nice exchange with the devotees, like the day before or some days before. And this is, you know, your consciousness is heavy. You didn't get rid of these offenses or half offenses or whatever, misconceptions, misunderstanding. So be sure. One thing that I do personally is every night I just go through the day. What is good, what is wrong. All the people I met, oh, this one I should have done better. Oh, that devotee I should have treated him a little better, you know, maybe I was a little too hard with him. And the next morning, first thing, go to that devotee, Prabhu, I just, you know, it was like this and like that. It's not an excuse. This is a reality. Please excuse my behavior towards you. You know, with this mentality, when you go out, you just start with a good foot, you know. Like, you know, when you, in Italy there is a saying that if you go off the bed with the wrong foot, that the whole day will go bad. So let's have a good start. And this is, no, the relationship among the devotees are very important. They will influence very much your consciousness during your sankirtan. Have you ever noticed that?
One time, they invited me for one program here in India for preaching. But the day before me, I make one big offense to one Vaishnava, so they want
to.
Yeah. Yeah, I still thinking, I cannot go to this preaching if I cannot go to speak or ask. Please forgive me.
Yeah.
That I still think I cannot preach. I don't have good behavior with everyone.
Yeah, that's good. That's good because Krishna says that it's not the devotee who says it's my devotee, but who is the devotee of my devotee. So we have always to remember that also. So our philosophy is really helping us in our interaction, in our inspiring, is inspiring us to do this service better and better. And then we have also to think about Srila Prabhupada. You know, just what he did to write these books, just to write them, just to translate them. He didn't practically sleep for, let's say, 14 years. It's not an exaggeration. We know his life. He was going around the world 12, 14 times. He practically didn't have any sleep just to translate these books. And, you know, to distribute it is not a big deal, you know. Just everything is already done, you know. The binding is there, the translation is there, printing is there, you know. We have also low cost.
everything is done, you just have to give it out, you know, it's not a big deal. So just think about Srila Prabhupada and this will really help. Can we shut the light down?
Anything else?
Yeah. You know, Guru Maharaj also, sometimes the relationship with your Guru Maharaj, it gives you inspiration and you know that it's really...
Yeah, it was already said, you know, the pranam of the Guru Maharaj. Prabhu, last one?
Sandhya's kind of inspiration.
Sannifis?
Good Kirtan Sunday.
Yeah, Kirtan, that's also good.
Lecture.
Yeah.
Or visiting Holy Dham. This is my book.
Yes, yes. Remember good Kirtan or the good old days in the Mayapur Dham. Yeah. So should we see... Oh, another point.
Association between the devotee.
Yeah. Yeah, that also. If you have a friend nearby, just go and share, you know, open your mind to him. Take shelter towards the devotees. I just tell this and then we can see the movie. At the beginning I had a very, very difficult situation because Krishna was really showing how I was in Maya, and I knew that was me. And it was very painful for me. So there was only one devotee in the temple that was little elderly and little older than me in the movement. I was older by age, but he was older for in devotional service. So I just went to him and I started crying and I embraced him. I said, please help me. I'm, you know, you are the only one anyway here. And he started laughing. And I said, but I just need shelter, you know, because I have so many things in my mind and I know that they are all lies, but I don't know what to do. Please help me. And he gave me some simple, he was a little embarrassed at first, but he gave me some, just few kind words and everything was fine, you know, because that was, the association is very potent. And if you have, you know, on the spot, it is even better. Can we see something?
Sure.
Should we shut off the lights?
Yeah, the lights, please. I just got the good news from Brahma Muhurta. There is still some Nectar of Bhuti Sikushin available. So we'll make sure that they get distributed to the different BBT trustees. So you should be able to get it from the BBT trustee. And also the PDF file will probably be made available. So you can also get the download of the book. And for me personally speaking, I have always tried to take shelter in Prabhupada's books, sometimes in very difficult times, and you're distributing and nothing happens and it's very hard circumstances, so you just take shelter in the books which you're carrying on your arms, and you pray to the books. So you develop this real closeness, this real intimacy. I remember the first marathon we went out in 84 in Austria. We had vans, there was nothing inside. There was just books. So we used to put paper, just big sheets of paper like that on top of the books. And then we would, in the evening, you take a book and you hold it to your head and you say, Krishna, I'm sorry, you know, I gotta take rest now. So I know, you know, this is not so comfortable for you, but I'm gonna sleep on you now. Because tomorrow I have to distribute you, you know, it becomes a real intimate thing. Then you cook and you put the book there and you say, okay, Krishna, now, you know, now you can eat here, prasada. So, and then you go out and you distribute. So it's a very intimate thing. And the same thing with Srila Prabhupada. We can always remember Prabhupada's example, how he was doing all the things we're doing right now single-handedly. He was translating, he was printing, he was distributing, he was cooking for the devotees. He was doing everything. Everything. So if we feel that we have a hard time, and sometimes we do, then just think of Prabhupada, you know, 70-year-old sannyasi gentleman doing everything. And here we are, you know, in our prime youth, 30, 40, or, you know, whatever age we're in. And we are having a hard time. But let's think, you just have to see everything in perspective. If you see the struggle and the hardship Prabhupada went through, this is a great source of inspiration.
Sometimes I go to a country, I don't know the place, I don't like the place, I don't like the people, I don't like the food, I don't like anything there. And then I figure out how must Prabhupada have felt when he stepped off that boat and he went into New York City and he saw those people. Can you imagine, you come from Vrindavan and you go to New York and you see what's going on there? It's quite wild, you know. You're like in a zoo. You feel like this is freaking jungle. And he was living with those people. Just living with them in the same apartment. Sharing the bathroom, having to wait for them, cooking for them, sharing fridge, people in non-veg, this and that. So what is our difficulty in comparison to this difficulty? So Prabhupada's example, Prabhupada's inspiration is always there, and Prabhupada is ready to give us shelter in any situation in our preaching. And that's the wonderful thing about the group distribution mission. That whoever you are, wherever you are, if you take shelter of Prabhupada, Prabhupada can make it happen for you. He can come through for you. And it happens in a very powerful way. And then you see how, when you open the book, any given place, and you read, Prabhupada is speaking to us, right here and there, exactly to our hearts, to our situations. Have you ever done that? You just, you know, you open the book like this, and you read, and it's like, this can't be true. This is exactly what was going on in my mind, and in my heart, right now, at this very minute. It has happened dozens of times. So can you feel how people feel when they get these books? They feel exactly the same thing. Maybe they're not so conscious of it, but it's very powerful how Prabhupada speaks to them and it touches their hearts. So we should never become discouraged because of external, internal, other type of challenges and think, oh, it's not worth it. We're doing 3 million books a year. What's the difference? One book more, one book less. Who cares? I don't get a cake. I don't even get a medal nowadays, you know. It's just not happening. No. Did you care that somebody gave you a book? Did you care that somebody took time for you? Of course you care. That's why we're here right now. Huh? I like the crab stories. The young boy and the old man throwing the crabs into the ocean. It matters. Every book matters. Every person matters. Because for that person to suffer in this material world for eternity or to get Prabhupada's mercy, it makes a world of a difference. And that's why we're out there struggling. That's why we're out there performing the tapasya. And that's why we are getting the mercy. So if you want the mercy, you have to pay the price. And the price is not too big to pay. But we should always stay connected and remember, where is the mercy coming from? Where is the juice? Where is the inspiration? And never think, oh, it's me. I'm the doer. I'm the mover and shaker. I'm the controller of all that surveys. Because then things become difficult. But if we let Prabhupada and we let these books speak for themselves, and we have a great appreciation, a great veneration for these books, it will reflect on the people. And the people will just sometimes, they just look at the book, or they just look at Prabhupada's picture, and they're just convinced, they're just blown away. They just go like, wow, you know? I mean, this is, you never saw anybody. Did you ever see anybody who looked like Prabhupada? No. It's just amazing, right? So we should give people the chance to be in touch with Prabhupada's books. And sometimes all they can do is hold a book. Sometimes all they can do is speak a little bit with the devotee, spend some short time. Sometimes they can only give a small donation. But whatever they do, never think it's not important. It is important because they have started their devotional service. So Prabhupada is always there and he is giving his special mercy to all of those who want to get it. So, we're just watching this video here.
Picture in some paper, perhaps you remember, from Montreal, here I don't remember. One old lady and her husband sitting face to face. The lady is requesting the husband, chant, 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 and the husband is answering, can't, can't, can't. You believe by that. Who are requesting everyone, please chant, chant, chant. And they are replying, can't, can't. This is their misfortune. This is their misfortune. So still, it is our duty to make all these misfortunate, unfortunate creatures fortunate. That is our duty. So therefore, roam the street and chant. Although they say can't, we go and chant. That is our duty. And somehow or other, we put on some vijayata in his hand, he became fortunate. He would have squandered his hard-earned money in so many nasty, sinful ways, and if he purchases one book, no mind what is the price, his money is properly utilized. The beginning of Krishna consciousness is there, because he is giving some money, hard-earned money, for this Krishna consciousness movement, he is getting some spiritual profit. He is not ruining, he is getting some spiritual profit. Therefore, our business is somehow or other bringing everyone in this Krishna consciousness movement, he will be profit.
Srila Prabhupada ki! Hari Bol. Thank you for your attention. See you all tomorrow at 10 o'clock sharp. Hare Krishna.